Listen up. I don't like white people. I hate rednecks. People are rednecks. It means I'm enjoying this
BFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Now get this. We ain't partners. We ain't brothers and we ain't friends. I'm putting you down and keeping you down, and you're going to be sorry you ever met me.
I'm already sorry.
Paul Perillo.
I'm taking a moan in my stomach or something, bro. You got to go get something.
We eat when I say we eat.
You know, that's bullshit. That's the last straw, right? I want some food now. If you don't like it, you can take me back to the penitentiary and kiss my hungry ass goodbye, right? You took me out here. You've been treating me like shit since we first left. And I want some food in a nice place, a nice atmosphere.
And Andy. And Andy. Andy Hart.
I want the rest of you cowboys to know something. There's a new sheriff in town. His name is...
Some guy named Tom.
Now be cool. Shut up.
PFW in progress.
Jack, tell me a story.
F*** you.
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
We got lots of stories here on PFW in progress on a Thursday afternoon. Paul Perillo and Andy Hart, which means only one thing. The A-team is in the house. At least for the first hour, Andy, we can't do much to control what happens in the second hour when Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale join us for the picks around the National Football League, which, by the way, hit an all-time low this past week for all of us.
Well, just, I pretty much stunk since we started doing it with the spreads.
Just in general, we have not fared well, and this week was particularly bad.
Yeah, it's internet radio.
That's true. You know, besides our loyal listeners, which, you know, as you know, you can reach us by emailing webradio@patriots.com. Once again, webradio@patriots.com, or you can give us a call at 508-543-7482. Besides our loyal following,
most of whom live in Scotland, we learned this week.
Oh, absolutely. On PFW in progress, really, there's not a lot of accountability here with our lame picks because we're just terrible. Just terrible. Yeah, all around. Minnesota on the horizon for a Monday night. We know that. What we don't know is the availability of one Richard Seymour, who was listed on the injury report yesterday as questionable. Should probably point out, just for news purposes, he participated in practice, at least part of practice, for the part that media was allowed to attend. No pads at practice, however, and he did have a big wrap on his left arm, I believe. His left elbow, right, Andy?
Yes.
Left arm. He was in the locker room today, which is a good sign for people holding out hope that he might be able to play. Andy was a part of that, so I'll turn it over to you.
He spoke for an extended period. I listened to the first half of it. Basically, he said it's just a question of the strength in the elbow, but he called it gruesome when he watched it on tape and didn't want to watch it anymore. Said they really, he feels fortunate that they could have, that they avoided something that could have been more serious. Rodney Harrison hit him. I haven't seen a close-up replay of it, so I don't know.
Either.
But I'm guessing the elbow sort of hyperextended. That's what it sounds like.
I think he was planted something,
and
you
it
know,
bent the wrong
on
way.
The ground, and he got the hit from the wrong side
right.
of the elbow. He said it was
gruesome.
Gruesome was the word he used. And
but
he said
seems
it was almost more
upbeat.
Difficult to watch it on Monday.
Seems very upbeat. You know, talked about feeling relatively comfortable with the brace slash wrap that he had on yesterday. So I have to tell you, you know, he clearly didn't go on the record by saying he's going to play or anything, but I came away from it thinking he's going to give it a go, and there's at least a decent chance he'll play.
Yeah, I get the impression that he is going to give it a shot. Now, am I going to be surprised if he doesn't play? Not at all. Not at all. I think there's probably a better chance that he doesn't play than he does. However, at this time yesterday, I got to be honest with you, I didn't really think there was any chance that he would play.
I feel the same way.
His presence in the locker room and him speaking in the locker room gives me hope. And then, obviously, Andy's relaying of the message from Richard gives me some hope that he might be able to give it a go. Generally, in this, no set rules here, so don't say, well, so-and-so did this and so-and-so. Generally, when injured players are out and they know they're going to be out, we don't usually see them in the locker room at all.
Kevin Falk was in the locker room as well.
They certainly don't talk.
Kevin Falk stopped and talked. I spoke with him for a story.
I saw you talking to him. I saw that.
Yeah. And Russ Hochstein came through just as we were leaving with a large brace on his left knee. So some of the injured guys were at least visible.
Why can't I be the director?
Because you hurt your knee.
A lot of...
Hi there.
a lot of members of the injury list. I mean, there's like 8, 9, you know, maybe 10 guys.
Yeah.
On the Patriots injury report, but
some real, some maybe not.
Yeah,
so.
Most of those aren't overly serious. Now, I think the Hochstein one obviously is, you know, fairly significant.
But some guys are just on there to balance it out, I believe.
That's how I look at it. But, you know, finding out who is on there just to balance it out is the trick.
Right. But we know some of them are.
Okay, so Thursday afternoon here, couple days, still have some time. The conference calls, as a little change of the normal procedure, conference calls will be today, actually in about an hour. Coach Brad Childress will speak. And is it Jermaine Wiggins?
Yes.
They're going to have Jermaine Wiggins for the player for the Vikings. So you can look for that on Patriots.com a little bit later. There's a lot of aspects of this game I think are somewhat interesting. And we talked a lot about them yesterday, Andy, with Tom and I. I just think it's a different kind of team than the Patriots have played. I almost think that Belichick doesn't like to see a guy like Brad Johnson more than he would fear a guy like, you know, Peyton Manning or just, you know, a Carson Palmer, a quarterback-driven team where he knows going in that the other team is going to try to throw the football to win. Brad Johnson's one of those guys that he doesn't generally beat himself, and I think these are kinds of guys the Patriots want to say, go ahead and take 10, 12 plays to score. Brad Johnson's fully comfortable with that.
Yeah, I think he'd be a Patriots
like
kind of quarterback. I think Brad Johnson is a you never lost by punting kind of quarterback, and I think that's Bill's philosophy in general. I think that philosophy goes back to the big reason, the whole Bledsoe Brady thing. You know, the whole you never lost when you punt. Brad Johnson's going to take what he can get. He's going to dump it off to the outlet receiver and take a 5-yard gain, or he'll throw it away, punt, come back and try again the next time. The one thing that's interesting is they have scored on every opening drive they've had this season. So they've been pretty successful getting on the board and getting a little bit of momentum in their favor. And as Bill says, that kind of keeps that home Metrodome crowd in it, can keep that place loud. Obviously they practiced yesterday here inside with some music, sort of prepare for that. And the Patriots, you know, seems like, you know, their MO now, they're, you know, focusing on getting out to quick starts. Obviously last week that was the entire focus of the game plan. I would assume it'd be the same this week, knowing that you may have to match a Viking score or try to score before they score. So, you know, while I think both teams, there's interesting matchups, and you can say the Vikings are, you know, conservative, maybe run the ball, not going to take a ton of chances through the air. They do look to get out of the gates and get after a fast start.
Well, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. The beginning of the game is somewhat interesting because I don't really have any, you know, I know I read the stuff about Minnesota's fast starts with the touchdown in the opener, 5 field goals, just as you just said, Andy. I don't have any stats to back this up, but I feel like from watching the eyeball test that the Patriots' defense has been at its shakiest on that first possession or early in games, and they just get better as the game goes on and they dominate mm-hmm. as the game, you know, by the time the game's over. I remember Buffalo in both of their first two games scored field goals. I'm not talking about the strip sack on defense. I'm talking about the first offensive possession for Buffalo. They went right down the field and kicked the field goal. And the Patriots, the same thing happened this past Sunday in the 28-6 game. First drive, they had the long shovel pass to McGahee, and they went down and kicked a field goal. I'm wondering if maybe there might be, you know, kind of one of those matchup things that you look for. Vikings start fast. The Patriots have a hard time maybe on that first drive. I'm wondering if that's something to be concerned about, you know, in terms of getting that crowd, just like you just said, that crowd all whooped up in the Metrodome. Might be something to keep an eye on.
Well, depends how it goes, too. If they force a field goal, I mean, I think they feel like that's okay. That's what they do. Eventually, if they force a couple field goals, Brady will start putting touchdowns on the board, and it swings in your favor.
Kind of like Cincinnati, which is yep. another game, by the way. The defense allowed a drive on the very, you know.
Yep.
They were at their worst in their first drive.
Paul Perillo predicting a Patriots loss.
I picked a Patriots win, 24-16.
Stephen Neal was not in the locker room.
Stephen Neal, now that's interesting, because that brings me to my next point. Talking to some, you mentioned Russ Hochstein, Andy, and talking to Mike Reese from the Boston Globe. it might be interesting the way they have to kind of attack the roster here, and not necessarily directly related to the offensive line, but Bill ended the press conference with a Patrick Pass kind of a question about the makeup. It's not necessarily if Pass will be ready to go, but what's in the best interest of the roster makeup. And you wonder if a guy like Hochstein, whose injury may not be serious enough to land him on IR, might end up having to get placed on IR here. Because if Neal can't go and Hochstein's not ready to play, you might need to do something. You might.
I was thinking about Garrett Mills.
Garrett Mills for IR?
Would come up with an injury.
Oh,
pull a hamstring in practice.
That would really take it to new levels, wouldn't it?
I think everybody does it if they really need to. That was a guy I thought of because I was thinking about potential roster moves, maybe a guy like Dan Stevenson needing to get called up from the practice squad. They obviously don't have an open spot. Who would go? There's some possibilities there, whether it's an injured guy like a Hochstein. I think he's a guy you really would like to have late in the year as that interior backup on the O-line.
Yeah, that's why.
Could it be a special teamer?
I think it's a
guy
concern.
Like Iwoma gets released or kind of a fraudulent, convenient injury.
Garrett Mills would make a lot of sense. That's an interesting thought, too, because he obviously hasn't factored into the game plan at all.
Right.
He's been inactive every week. You probably don't lose much in terms of your roster flexibility with that.
Right.
Comes at a position where you're deep, whether you want
to
call him a
tight
end.
And you could even add Patrick Pass later if you do get an issue in that kind of mold.
Right. I mean, whether you go tight end or fullback with him, you're pretty deep in both spots without him. So that probably makes a lot of sense. The other thing, I don't know. I keep forgetting. We only have an hour here. We probably should get to some emails here. Webradio@patriots.com. Once again, webradio@patriots.com. The emails are coming in, which is a good sign. Big game this week, Monday Night Football. The only appearance of the season on Monday Night Football for the Patriots in Minnesota.
And you're going to get to see your girl.
Who is?
Paris Hilton. She's doing the Open.
Paris Hilton's not my girl.
Yeah, I thought she was.
I don't even think she's remotely attractive.
I thought you liked her a lot.
Is that all she's doing?
I don't know where you're going with that.
Where are you going
talking
with
talking about
that?
Paul?
Talking about Paris Hilton.
I'm just talking about Sunday. I'm going to have
doing
to get
what?
One of these cruises. Are we going to head out on a cruise on Sunday?
I don't have the kind of finances for one of those things.
Nor the desire, to be honest
those
with you.
Guys? Oh, I might have the desire. I didn't say that. I just said I don't have the finances.
Sorry. It's not exactly my thing. Prostitution is not high on my list.
No, it's not prostitution. They're dancers.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yes.
Is that why they got in so much trouble?
Yeah.
They hired dancers?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's all consensual.
All right, then. Let's see. Frederick. Is it Frederick?
Frederick?
Yes. Fred.
Elementary?
What was that?
Tom says elementary for elementary school.
No, I like when he reads the line. You can tell he's going down to the next line.
The ball was thrown in the air to Chad Jackson.
I'm just going to say.
Fred is in Montreal, and he says, nice to have met you in Buffalo minus Paul. Did you guys meet Fred?
Oh, yeah, when you were sulking and didn't go to the restaurant with us.
Oh, he went to Billy Ogden's?
Yeah.
I was not sulking.
Did he eat?
However,
because he was worried about an hour and a half wait. He wasn't going to stay, and then Fred said, it's worth the wait. Come back.
Well, I didn't. I don't see here. I'll read the.
Freddie, did you eat?
I liked my first NFL game. I was so close to the field, I almost caught the Lossman third down pass to the end zone that Asante Samuel broke up. The Bills fans were yelling to Maroney to drop dead and accusing Brady of being over the roughing the passer call, which he had nothing to do with, of course.
A baby or something else? Oh.
Okay. But overall, they weren't too bad, perhaps because the Pats fans almost outnumbered them.
Weren't too bad. I saw a lot of fingers.
Yeah, I don't know about...
It wasn't the pointer finger.
I don't know about almost outnumbering. There was a smattering of applause on Patriots plays, but that was a very disappointed crowd when we were leaving, and there was a lot of unruly people.
Yes.
My question is about your show on TV. I get a lot of New England channels on my dish, so I might be able to see it. What is the channel name? NBC, Fox, ABC, and call letters if you can find them.
A little lower than those.
It's a cable station, and I'm not sure it's available on
New England Cable News.
New England Cable News. It's really a news channel in New England.
And it's on cable.
Thus the name.
Hence the name.
Thus the name. But I don't think it's. Do you think? I'm trying to think. I don't think it would be available.
I don't really know how that stuff works. It's New England cable news. Like, that's
like,
all I can tell you.
Like Fox Sports Net is the New England version is a subsidiary of the Fox umbrella. So
part of Fox, and they cover sports.
But a lot of them are available. Okay, all right. Okay, all right. All right. I mean, this is going to turn into one of those things. I was pouting now.
No, you're not pouting today.
Because I wasn't pouting.
That was last week in the hotel.
3 weeks before we went to Buffalo, I told everybody I wasn't going to Billy Ogden's. Then all of a sudden.
See that big button I pushed, Gary?
All of a sudden it comes out. Well, it just. Because I just laugh at these things. 3 weeks before we went to Buffalo, Fred wanted to go to Billy Ogden's. I said I wasn't going to go. And then all of a sudden, no one believes me for 3 weeks. And then it comes.
I knew you'd sulk. You sulk a lot.
But then it comes and everybody goes to Billy Ogden's and I stay home and everybody says that I'm pouting. I just don't understand that.
And as usual, you stumbled into luck and you get a free meal or something.
Which was part of the reason why I didn't want to go to Billy Ogden's because I didn't have any money.
How many beers can room service deliver?
I didn't have any.
Is there a limit?
I didn't have
you
one.
You lying your ass.
I did not have one beer that night. Matter of fact, you didn't call me. It must have been too late by the time you got back. He got all mad at me because he said he would call me when he got back. I'll go down and have a beer. And I said, well, if it's after 10, I'm not going down.
Jeez, how old are you getting? You really are turning into Duder. No money, you're in by 10.
This is unbelievable. Every trip that we've made so far this year, we've been home before 10, and I've said to you, do you want to get a beer in the bar? And you said, no, I'm going upstairs. Every single one.
I have a digestive problem.
Okay, so say what it is. Anyway, Ray is next up.
But wait. Fred, email back in. I want to know if he ate at Billy Ogden's and what he thought, or if he chose to go elsewhere. And if he went elsewhere, why? Didn't look like there was much else in Buffalo.
Well, not in that area anyway. That's kind of a middle.
Is there a
nowhere.
Good area at Buffalo?
No, but I mean that there's no. I mean, you can go
aside
down
from that little train track stretch down the center of town.
Yeah, because it's Chippewa Street where Gary goes to meet all his little girlfriends and stuff.
Girlfriends?
It was too rainy though. You couldn't go out that night.
Hey, he was at Billy Ogden's. Right. He was big time in it with the marketing crew.
Okay. Is he pouting now, too?
No, he's ready to play something, but
go
we haven't.
Yourself.
All right. Ray says, I haven't really been looking out for him too much, but what's David Thomas done for us lately? With Graham out these last couple of games, I know he's been on the field. Is he blocking? I don't remember much in the way of receptions for him. Okay, why don't we do that one first? That's his first question.
He hasn't done much. He's been out there. He has been blocking.
He hasn't had a lot of
catches.
Balls thrown in his way. He's got a few receptions, two or three catches in the year, but he hasn't really had many balls thrown his way. I think he was intended once on Sunday, and it was overthrown.
I don't even remember that one. But, yeah, he's got a couple catches. He has been blocking. With Graham out, he's been playing that role, the tight end. Lined up at fullback, I noticed at least one play down as a true fullback.
He actually did a decent job on that play.
Yeah,
I thought he got some contact.
Been fine. I haven't seen any glaring errors or drops or anything of that nature. He just hasn't been a significant factor.
Yeah, he's coming along. He's out there. He's playing, which is obviously puts him ahead of
Ryan Krug, who's no longer out there.
I was going to say Garrett Mills. Obviously puts him ahead of Garrett Mills. Because he's out there and he's part of the game plan every week, even if it's a minor role. You're really picking at everything I say today, aren't you?
What? Are you going to cry?
No, I just think it's funny. I have noticed Willie Andrews on special teams, and I'm happy with what I've seen. He keeps showing up around the play on kick coverage. I was hoping to see him on the receiving end more. Any ideas why we haven't?
Well,
I think that's one reason why we haven't, to be honest with you. I think he's outstanding in coverage.
Well, I also thought after his initial good stuff in training camp where he showed some spark, showed some energy, I thought he was a little shaky, let some balls hit the ground, made some questionable decisions. I think that's the key when you're back there. First and foremost is making good decisions with the ball, coming away with the ball, and then after that, making things happen athletically. But he had a tremendous game in coverage last week. Tremendous.
And the rev continues here. Obviously, with Maroney's kick return, Bill's going to give him more opportunities, but it seemed to me that Andrews had stepped in front of Falk, and while it's hard to berate him after he produces a 70-odd yard return, but stepping in front of a teammate seems like a big no-no, and I wonder how much he got chewed out for that. Assuming I'm correct about what I saw. Oh, I'm sorry. This is Maroney he's talking about.
Right.
I thought he was talking about Andrews. He stepped in front of Falk.
I've heard that a number of times. I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Oh, you mean to field the ball?
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know, really notice
it. I didn't notice it, but I've heard other people talk about that he kind of stepped in front.
Well, I would think that they, well, I don't
know. There's no question they want the ball in his hand.
I was going to say, wouldn't they want, if it's a chance for him to get it, wouldn't they want that?
Now, on that specific play, if it's actually, you know, they want the decision to be made that Maroney's going to get it so that Falk can be a blocker. Now, if for some reason Falk thought he was getting the ball and didn't, now you're down a blocker because you've removed him from the play. But in general, he lines up deeper than Kevin Falk. They want him to have the ball in his hands. They want him to be the main returner.
And the Reverend Ray finishes up here, says, keep up the good work, and not that I'm suggesting more of them, but I kind of enjoy some of the random tangents. Games like tag taught me to compete, and real competition is good for everyone involved. And he finishes up by saying, food cannot kill me. That's my theory, Ray.
Good luck with that. You'd be in the ground by 55.
What was the thing about tag? Did you guys talk about playing tag one day?
We were talking about the fact that they banned tag in Attleboro school systems.
Oh, are you kidding me? You're not allowed to play tag?
They're forming walking groups at recess.
Here we go again.
No, he likes it. The Rev likes it.
Wait a minute. You're not allowed to play I would think tag, it would be the ultimate, like, suburban game because you don't keep score.
Not allowed to touch, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I suppose you got to worry about that crap. I mean.
And I said, we played a version of football that was one on everybody called Smear the Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Yeah, we had a little of that.
No one ever died. No one ever got seriously injured. We all turned out to be successful adults.
Was that King of the Mountain kind of thing? Did you play like one guy had the ball and everybody had to tackle him?
Yeah. You called it King of the Mountain?
No, we had all kinds of stuff.
We played King of the Mountain, but that was in the winter when they actually plowed the snow and would fight to get to the top of the snowpile.
Right, and that is King of the Mountain.
Now that's a little more dangerous. That one probably should be banned.
Craig is in Boxborough, which is up my way, Andy. Every time Craig writes in, I say, Boxborough is up by my way. Much nicer than Peabody, however.
So you couldn't afford to move into Boxborough?
Light years nicer than Peabody. Matter of fact, someday I might have to move to Boxborough.
Where is it?
It's north.
Northern? More north of you?
North, like off of 95. Yes, it's more north than me.
Do they spell it with an O-U-G-H-O?
Well, he does right here, but I'm not sure exactly how the town does.
Okay. Proceed.
Okay. He says, great podcasts. I was wondering if the Patriots were going to memorialize Drew Bledsoe after he retires.
Is he dead?
Well, I don't know. Theo Epstein got his contract memorialized. He's alive.
What does that mean?
When he signed his contract last week, they had a press release saying he memorialized it.
I think that's the best decision he's made. I think he realized at some point they could pull the contract off the table.
Anyway, Craig thinks he was a major part of the organization for many years.
Yes.
Although recently he has been a low caliber quarterback. And I agree. I think,
his name will be in the Ring of Honor when they have a Ring of Honor.
I said it yesterday. He wholeheartedly deserved to lose his job. He was playing poorly. He threw 8 interceptions in 6 games. That's going to lose you your job. And it's probably time for them to go in another direction. It's probably time for my boy to retire. Nothing wrong with that.
P.S. Paul is great on the big show.
Do you have to do it every time? It only feeds the fire. It's like the animal. It's like Seymour.
Great. I think we throw that word around far too often these days.
You see? You see?
Great. Is that what we're going to call it these days?
Whatever. Josh is in Burlington, Vermont. Well, I was going to take a shot at you, but I was trying to be classy. I'm going to do a you now. I was going to say blah, 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 but I showed restraint.
So when do we show class on this show?
If anybody could hear you on your 0.0 rating station, maybe they would write in and say you were great as well.
Not sure, but I don't think that's a shot at me. I think that's more a shot at the station.
Anyway.
The real shot is I got bumped yesterday for Ron Borges.
Were you supposed to be in studio or just
yeah.
on the...
No, I was supposed to be in told yesterday, you not to and I got an email a day earlier from the station manager or whatever saying, there's been a scheduling snafu. And then later, the producer called me and said, yeah, apparently they booked Borges before I knew, and he booked me.
So they didn't need you, so you weren't even on yesterday at all?
No, I wasn't on yesterday. But Borges was good. He entertained me.
Well, Borges is always good. I mean, he gets everybody's blood boiling because of his anti-Bill.
That entertains me.
But his anti-Bill rant is tiresome. But if you can get beyond that and pass the rhetoric, he's entertaining.
He had a line about somebody called in and talked about making the decision to go with Brady, and he goes, he didn't make a decision. Bledsoe was in the hospital dying, And he went with him. He goes, it's like if your hair's on fire. Do you make the decision to throw water on it? No, your hair was on fire.
Right. Well, you know what? The part of that I'll agree with Ron on is I talked at length with Charlie Weiss about this, and I have mentioned it to Bill as well, and they both admit, well, to me, I asked them both, when would that decision have come? When would you have made that change? And they both have said to me, on numerous occasions, mind you, we might never have made the choice. We might never have made that move, which tells me, you know, after the fact, I don't know why you would say, well, you know, we were kind of going down that path. We saw a lot of this in Brady. We saw some decline, but why wouldn't you say that? It doesn't make you look better to say that we might never made the choice.
Right.
And it doesn't make Bledsoe look any better to say it either. I mean, it's not like you're trying to do it out of respect for Bledsoe. There's no real tangible reason as to why they wouldn't say, well, you know, we were 5-11, 0-2, we might have had to make a move. It doesn't make you look any worse or better.
I don't think it would have happened.
Right. If that's really what would have happened, I don't think it's in your best interest to lie about it.
I think it would have led to the departure of one Bill Belichick from this organization.
Well, clearly, the way things
have turned
out. I
talked about this with Felger one day. I truly believe if Drew stays healthy, they probably keep losing somewhat. And if and when Belichick does go to the owner and say, because I think that's a move where you have to say, Robert, I'm going to bench Drew. I don't think the owner would have been happy after having signed him to a long-term extension.
I agree.
And I think there's a chance that the owner says, you went 5-11 last year and you're, you know, 2-6 right now, 2-7 right now. I've kind of already latched my trailer to Drew Bledsoe. You're out. I'm not listening to you. You can't bench. You know, it could have become an issue.
Right. I agree with you. And 95%, I think, there's 95% chance that your scenario is probably accurate. The 5% that I'll hold out is to say that maybe, you know, I think that Belichick is such a good coach that maybe he could have changed Bledsoe and he could have gotten him to play the game manager, the punt instead of, you know, he could have finally gotten it through to him. If you play this way, we can win. You know, I'll give him a 5% chance.
He would have had to, because if it reaches that point, do you leave, get fired, or walk away from your second team? Maybe to never get a chance again, or you're going to have to try to go that route and save your own career while saving Drew's.
And I also think that if you look back at the 2000 season, Bledsoe in many ways played that Belichick style that he wants.
Well, they had all those games that were tight.
And he didn't throw a lot of interceptions. I think he only threw 11 interceptions that year.
And how many games did they lose by less than 7 points?
I want to say that was his career low in interceptions, was 2000, was the 2000 season. So he kind of did play that Belichick style.
11, that's just, a month these days.
They just weren't good enough to win yet, and maybe, you know, like I say, a 5% chance. Maybe eventually, if he continues to play like that, this team got better. Maybe he's still here and they win him, but I don't think that would have happened, and there's no way I think they would have won 3 Super Bowls, even if he did have all that, because Brady has been far superior to anything Bledsoe ever did. Anyway, Josh is in Burlington, Vermont. He's next up. Just curious, what are Steve Grogan and Andre Tippett's current roles within the Patriots organization?
Grogan has none other than he appears on Patriots Today with Tom Casale for a weekly Wednesdays with Grogan analysis, and he's an active member of the Alumni Association, New England Patriots Alumni Association, but he is not a full-time paid employee. Andre Tippett is. He is the director of community. You know the answer to this? Director of community something? Or he basically works in the community relations department, sort of a dignitary for the team, makes a lot of appearances, works with a lot of youth groups, charitable work, all of those different things. He used to work in the scouting department, but that came to an end.
Yeah, I don't think...
You got his title?
I don't think he's in here.
Oh, he's got to be.
No, he doesn't have a bio, but he
I mean on like the little list of employees.
Yeah.
Paul's going to look that up in the media guide, but he is a full-time paid member of the organization. He also spends a lot of time entertaining the staff of Patriots Football Weekly because he's a very funny guy.
A wonderful storyteller, there's no question about that. And
as long as those stories aren't for public consumption on any
hopefully airways. We can get him in the Hall of Fame and then he can mention PFW in his speech. That's our he's the director of football development and promotions.
Yeah, he works a lot with youth football, holds camps and goes to schools and things of that nature. Just a face of the organization, face of the past, doing a fine job. What are you looking up elsewhere?
13 interceptions he threw in 2000. That is a career low.
Good.
So that was the only thing I was looking up. Anyway, let's move on to the rest of Josh's email. I understand what you have to say regarding the high cost that would be required to keep Asante Samuel, a solid but not outstanding corner. It seems, though, that either we'd have to pay a lot of money for another middle-of-the-road free agent cornerback or take a rookie in the draft and depend on them. Either way, with the complexity that everyone talks about with regards to the Patriots' defense, it seems like it might make sense to pay a little extra for a solid cornerback who already knows the playbook. You guys all do a great job, even if Tom has no taste in music and Paul seems unable to take abuse. That's Josh in Vermont.
It hasn't always been the case that Paul couldn't take abuse. It's lately. It's been very cranky.
I wonder why.
Could you go with a rookie? I mean, why not? You went with a rookie last year. Now, if you think that Ellis Hobbs is developing into the third-year veteran, looking ahead to next year, you have two first-round picks. We know they considered cornerback as a position to target this past year. I don't think they would necessarily be, as Bill would say, philosophically opposed to anything if the value isn't there with Asante Samuel. They're not going to just pay him because we need to keep a veteran corner around. You know, if he is willing to stay here and they feel the money is right, he'll be here.
I also kind of disagree with the notion that you'd have to spend as much money to get a middle-of-the-road cornerback in return. I think the Patriots have shown over the years that they can sign guys. Now, look, they haven't all worked out. Some of them have and some of them haven't. But they can sign guys that maybe...
Eric Warfield?
Well, yeah, that would be an example of one that didn't work out. But
well, yeah, that's one on the downside.
But I think as much as I don't like the guy and think he was kind of lucky, Tyrone Poole, I think, would be an example of a guy that did work out, that I think it's going to cost more money to sign Asante Samuel than it did to sign Tyrone Poole.
No question.
So I don't think it's impossible to get a guy on the free agent market to maybe take a little bit more along the line with the Patriots are looking for, whereas I think Samuel's connection with the Patriots is going to drive up his value, and I think you're less likely to get him for an affordable price than a Tyrone Poole.
And his youth. I mean, he's a fourth-year player.
Yeah, exactly.
He's already set a career high with 3 interceptions, so he's, you know, in all likelihood going to end with a significantly greater career high interceptions. Led the team the last 2 years in picks. I think he's going to be a pretty attractive young free agent. You know, I think he's ideal for some team. If they have an established corner already, I think he's a very good number two cornerback.
Any chance that he has, I mean, would you say that he's probably played through 6 games his best football? Would you say that he's been pretty consistent this year?
Yeah.
Any chance that he has start to finish just a remarkable season and he plays the way he's played all the way through, terribly consistent, highly productive, and the Patriots say, you know what? Let's maybe open it up a little bit for this guy. We got to retain him. He's that good. Any chance?
I don't think so. If that happens, I'm not sold that's what you'd be buying into. I think you might see the best of him. And I still have my doubts as to where he is.
Well, I do too.
On the ranking.
I do.
And I think somebody brought it up in SPFW, kind of comparing it to Deion Branch, because there's a similar sort of, where does he rank? He starts for us. He's been productive in our system. But is he a number one corner? Is he a number one receiver? And I think there are some similarities there. Both guys are probably going to find money on the open market. Deion Branch did.
Right.
I think Asante Samuel will if he gets there. But I don't necessarily think you look at him in your system and say, yeah, he's our next Ty Law. We can count on him for the next, you know, sign him to a 5-year deal. And he's part number one corner on our defense for the next 5 years. I'm just not sure that's what he is.
Hey, look, there's no scenario that I'm looking to get into a double-digit signing bonus and, you know,
I think that's what he should
money.
Be looking
now,
for.
If that's what he gets, then...
I think that's what he should be looking for, his agent. And I also think something that plays into it, the looking ahead, is it a strong crop of college corners? You know, are there going to be 6 first-round... seems like every year there's a lot of first-round corners. They don't all pan out, but is there going to be enough where you say, you know what, I have 2 picks... I can get a stud corner.
How about a Copen deal?
Huh?
Copen deal for Samuel.
If he would sign the same deal?
4 years, 20.
With like seven and a half, eight million
in a bonus. If he would sign that, would you give it to him?
I would probably give it to him.
Yeah, see, because now going into this season, I wouldn't have said that I would have given him that money. Now I might. Because he's showing me something. And I understand what your point is, and I kind of agree with it about maybe this is what he is. But I have seen incremental improvement in this guy. And I'm not saying that he's going to get much better than what he's playing right now, but I think that this is what he's playing right now, I think, is what he is. And I think that's pretty good. Do you know what I'm saying? I think he might be worth a little bit more than I thought he would be worth.
I think
I think you're right. He's going to be looking for...
I think he should be, and I think he'll probably get it.
Yeah, I think you're right. Russell is next up. He is in the sun-drenched OC. There was a lot of discussion on this yesterday, and I think this would depend on what the Patriots' cap number will become next year. But could you see them re-signing Sam? It's fine. We were just talking about this. And going after Nate Clements to have a really dynamic set of corners. So Samuel and Clements. Samuel Clements. See what I did there? Samuel and Hong Clements. You must know that. You're a Tufts guy.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money, yeah.
Because, I mean, Clements, I think in terms of signing bonus, you're talking high double
Clements
digits.
Is coming off a franchise,
high
right?
High teens.
He's a franchise, right?
I'm not sure.
I thought he was franchised by the Bills, but I might be wrong on that.
But you're talking high teens, I would think, in signing bonus for him. So now you're talking about potentially $25 million in signing bonuses for two
people?
You're
probably looking at double-digit signing bonus for both.
I don't think there's any chance of that happening.
What is the Patriots' approximate cap money available next year? No real way of knowing that. We don't know how high exactly the cap ends
up. Projected at 109?
Nine, I want to say.
And with their little mathematics, maybe they're at like 111, where they bumped over in that Copen deal some of the money.
Everybody's going to get bumped up, too. There's a lot of guys that you got to factor in salary, just regular salary increase. That's tough. I would guess that three players will be asked to restructure, Brady, Colvin, and Dylan. Two of the three will have to, or I would guess they're gone.
Well, one of the three
I'm
going to
guess that one of
gone.
Those three under any circumstances will not be gone. You do the math. Let's hope Seattle continues to lose, so the pick will be higher, but I'm always nervous when a Boston team owns a Seattle first-round pick. Keep up the great work. Love the show. Celtics? Otherwise, I don't really get it. Boston team owning a Seattle first-round pick? It maybe has something to do with... I think Joe Forte might have been a Seattle pick, but...
Yeah, that kind of rings a bell.
I think we're
talking. Was that for Vin and Tonic?
All right.
That was good.
Bill Simmons gets the credit on that one. Sorry, Paul.
I can't think of any other Seattle number one pick history. But yeah, as Tom Casale has accurately pointed out, it's clear that the Seahawks are going 8-8.
If they're lucky.
Because that's what happens when the Patriots deal with you for a draft pick, is everything that could go wrong goes wrong, and the draft pick is better than it was supposed to be.
Dealing with the devil.
Let's go to Shannon is next up. To reference an emailer.
Guy.
Yeah, I know. Clink. Shut up. To reference an emailer from Wednesday's show who wrote about how he heard Marcus Robinson will be out for the Pats game, yes, I heard the same thing, except there may be a chance their top three receivers will be out, two of them due to concussions. I lived in Minnesota for 10 years before moving here to D.C., to Washington, 2 years ago, and I download a morning show from there. Their sports guy, Bill Sansevier, mentioned yesterday that there is a decent chance two to three of their wideouts will be out, and therefore will be relying heavily on Bethel Johnson. Great news as far as I'm concerned, and I think the Pats will win by double digits no matter what. The PA and Dubé show this guy said he was listening to is Paul Allen, the Vikings radio announcer, and Paul Dubé, a nobody homer. Trust me, they have nothing useful to say. You guys have them beat three times over. Good job as usual. Well, thank you. Tom, yes, I will go ahead and keep listening to the Rolling Stones and Fish. I agree that the Stones need to stop touring. I mean, come on. They look like death warmed over. But they made great music back in the day, and I'll always listen to that.
That's when they smoke it.
As far as Fish goes, their usual hippie wannabe fans make me puke. Go smoke another bong while selling veggie burritos and leading your dog around by a hemp rope, whose ribs show because your entire source of income are those previous stated burritos. But when Eric Clapton called Trey Anastasio the best guitar player in the world, there's something to it. Rob Zombie makes some messed up but good movies, and his wife is hot. She was hot, too, Tony. See, he's just not even paying attention. But when I start doing meth and eating cardboard, I'll listen to Rob Zombie. Patch 31, Vi Queens 14. That's from Shannon.
Andy, you're full of crap.
No question about it, Craig. You are correct. We got Craig on the phone?
Yeah.
Craig. Yeah. Yeah. What's up, Craig?
What's up,
hey,
my man?
What's wrong, fellas?
Nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing?
Nothing.
Oh, you know what? We should point out there is something going on that we didn't mention. As Andy and I were walking in, we noticed out in the field the work on the new turf has begun, and it looks like it will be more extensive than just that middle strip down the between the hash marks.
Looks like it could be virtually the whole field.
Yeah, there was a large portion of the turf that was off. So that work has begun.
Well, in a way, I'm glad to hear it. You know, we've got some games later on down the road against teams that, you know, the longer grass will help slow them down a little bit. Any advantage we can have at home is great. I'm basically talking about the Colts game. So.
Well, that's assuming that the turf takes. It'll be interesting to see how it grows here. It hasn't exactly been nice. You know, they were shooting a movie out here that supposedly it was balmy Phoenix, and it was like 50 degrees. It hasn't, not exactly prime grass growing weather, so we'll see how it adheres, but I know the league was adamant about having somebody oversee it so that it's installed properly.
Ah, bunch of whiners.
I agree.
Jeez. I mean, what's the point of home field advantage, you know, if it's going to be, you know, enforced and whatnot? I mean, you know, the field's got to be X wide by X long, fine, you know.
That's what I'm saying. If you want to take ground-up glass and throw it on the field and cause people to get cut up, you should be able to on your home turf.
You're really cracking Craig up today.
What the hell?
That's right. Red Auerbach would have done it.
All right, is this a close game, Craig? You think it's, like a lot of people think, it's going to be a close physical game, or do you think the Patriots roll by four touchdowns like you usually do?
Well, I don't think they're going to roll by four touchdowns. It would be awfully nice if we, you know, built on, you know, last week's game, you know, and got some momentum really going. One of the things that concerns me is the Vikings always play tougher at home. They have, you know, an extremely loud stadium, which sometimes leads to a lot of offensive line problems with respect to false starts and whatnot. But we've got an experienced, you know, a bunch of guys out there, and I feel like they'll be able to handle that okay. And with the Vikings wide receiver core, you know, yeah, Marcus Robinson's not going to be playing. That leaves Troy Williamson, Billy McMullen, and Travis Taylor, and I don't know how effective they're going to be. I think defensively we'll do fine against the passing game. The whole deal is, you know, I think what it's going to come down to is how effective are we going to be against Chester Taylor and their offensive line. I don't see them defensively shutting our offense down. I think we'll score, you know, at least, you know, 20 points on offense alone. They've got the number one rush defense in the league, but, you know, if you look at who they've played and who the running backs were, you know, that number is probably a tad skewed. You know, I know a lot of times you can look at numbers any way you want to, but the only really, I don't know if you guys would consider them really good, but, you know, Willis McGay rushed, I think the Bills had 95 on him.
So how long are we going here?
Yeah, no, look, I mean, I think that you make some good points. I think, you know, I think we're all in agreement it's going to be a tough game. Fred has actually been talking about, you know, everybody kind of sizes it up as being a defensive struggle, so that probably means there'll be more points than we would expect, and it'd be like a 34-28 kind of a game. But I think most people are in agreement that this Vikings game will be a difficult test on the road.
But I think we'll have more success running the ball than what people, you know, typically feel.
Have a lot of success. I don't have a lot of faith in that.
You don't?
No.
Well,
I think the Patriots' offensive line is a little nicked up, and you know, with Stephen Neal being questionable, and we probably should point out that even though there's a lot of reports about the Vikings wide receivers, their injury list lists Robinson is questionable. Not out.
Well, actually, this morning they reported on ESPN that he's going to be out.
No, I'm aware of the reports. I'm just saying what the injury list says is that he's questionable. I wouldn't necessarily rule it out unless they call him out, which could happen in the next day or two. We've seen that, too.
Right.
And the other two receivers, I think, were both probable, if I'm not mistaken, with their concussions, Taylor and Williamson. And they're pretty good. Both of those guys are, they can hurt you if you're not careful. And they have Wiggins and, let's face it.
Bethel.
Brad Johnson doesn't throw the ball downfield all that often. I know they have a lot of 20-plus yard pass plays, but I don't think that's necessarily how they go about their business. Chester Taylor, I think, is the leading receiver in terms of receptions.
Plus you have Mweldy Moore.
Mweldy Moore is an excellent Kevin Faulk type. So, I think they have ways to move the ball. I agree with you, Craig. I don't think they're going to pile up a lot of points against the Patriots' defense with or without Seymour. I look at this as a tight defensive game, and I think if there's a turnover or two at an opportune time, that might be the difference.
Yep, and go Pat. That's all I've got to say about that.
All right, my man. We'll check in with you, I'm sure, later on. You're really you're in good spirits today. It's good to see.
Craig. That's all I have to say about that.
All right, Sean McLaughlin thinks it's going to be a loss, Andy. He says, not real confident with this week. I don't like the matchup. I would rather lose this week, though, than next week against the Colts. I see a Vikings 17-10 victory. I could be wrong, but we will see.
I agree with that part. You definitely would rather win your AFC games against teams that you could be competing for a bye than the NFC game, which isn't quite as significant.
Do you think Bill treats, within reason here, I'm not saying he doesn't think they're important, but treats the AFC games more importantly?
Within reason. I mean, I think he thinks they're more important. I don't know how many decisions he would make with that in mind on a week-to-week basis.
Let's see. TG is in NJ. He says, yo, A-team, I don't like these international games. No, sir, I don't like it, not one bit. Is there any chance that Kim Jong-il will do something stupid that will cause the Pat Sea Chickens game to be nixed? You guys complain about going to Buffalo. How the hell does Fred think that he'll get you guys to Beijing? Biggest challenge so far this season will come up this weekend. Will we be able to run the football? Keep up the good work. That's TG.
I'm a little dubious about the running game.
Yeah, I'm not overly confident in that because I think that when they face teams generally that can stop the run, they've stopped the run.
Yeah, we'll see.
So I'm not overly confident in the Patriots' ability to run the football.
Have we discussed the international games? The fact that they voted that two regular season games a year are going to be played internationally? Mexico, Toronto.
I think it's highly unfair, to be honest with you.
Well, I've heard a lot of different theories posed on how you can make up for it and different things, and I saw one of the ideas, you'd tie it to Super Bowl cities that get the Super Bowl, which I know is a small portion of the NFL, but they would be the city that might, like, say, Jacksonville. You have a Super Bowl there. You're going to lose a home game the next year because that allows, because people talk about the team, but it also affects other people. And I know, for example, here, all the satellite parking lots pay a huge fee for their license to be able to do that. And you're talking about taking money out of their pockets. You're affecting other businesses, not just the team. So that would be a way cities that got the Super Bowl, they'd benefit from the Super Bowl. Maybe that would ease the burden of losing a game the following year.
Well, not to mention the fans that are deprived and seeing the game. I mean, let's face it, if you put a game internationally, the vast majority of the 68,000
right.
people that are here are not going to be able to see that game in person the way they want.
All the rich people that watch games here probably could.
Well, that's why I said the vast majority. I mean, come on.
A lot of rich people that come to this stadium.
How many people
probably why
think
it's quiet
overseas?
When they should be cheering. Rich people don't know how to cheer.
Rich people don't. Why do rich people not know how?
It's an interesting sociological investigation.
They're obviously very intelligent people, Andy. They've made a lot of money in their day.
That doesn't mean they're fun and exciting.
Why have they not acquired
loud?
The ability to know how to cheer?
Because it's inherently not part of their makeup. Okay. I've done plenty of research on this. Don't question me.
Oh, really?
I'm a man of the people.
Oh, really? Is that what you learned back in West Virginia?
You're full of crap.
Owen is in Belfast, Ireland. It says Ireland, not Northern Ireland, so I'll go with that.
Is he drunk?
What does that mean? Absolutely. As Tom says from the Peanut Gallery, sensitivity training for Andy Hart. Definitely in need. Unbelievable.
I got to tell you, I had an Irish roommate at Tufts. He drank a lot.
Oh, man, could he drink?
You got an Italian coworker that drinks a lot.
I don't drink a lot.
We got these two in the background just popping off with comments, but they don't want to step up to the mics.
Anyway, let's get to Owen's email here. He says, I was just wondering what
maybe
you guys...
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
I was just wondering what you guys think of Chad Scott's performance so far. I was reading Michael Felger's Patriots report card after the Bills game, which said that Scott has been, a quote, a revelation. I wasn't able to see the Pats-Bills game this week because it wasn't on TV over here, and I just wanted to hear your opinion on him. By the way, how old is he? Keep up the good work.
Well, he should have gone to Scotland because he could have watched the game on Channel 5.
Chad Scott is how old? 32?
Sure. What do you mean revelation? I mean, I think he's played well. He's been physical. He's been a nice contributor. I'm not sure I agree with the word revelation.
Well, you know what? And I'm not here to make fun of everybody else, but Chad Scott's been a pretty solid player
right. For
10 years. So for anybody to have his performance this year be a revelation, that's you weren't paying attention last year in training camp when he played well.
Right. And I don't want to take away. I think he's played pretty well. The thing we've talked about is how physical he is. Seems like every time he hits somebody, aside from that one in the Jets where the guy
30,
didn't go down.
He's 32.
I mean, he's pretty physical player. He clearly thinks he still could be a starter in this league. You have a good veteran coming off the bench or filling in when you need him. I think he's played pretty well.
Let's see here. Russell checks back in. Len Bias. That was a pick from Seattle. And you know what, Russell? You are correct, sir. Remember the whole Seattle first-round pick thing?
Yes.
Len Bias was from Seattle. That is correct. That's how they got that pick. Bob is next up in Regina, Canada. it's like doing a show with a three-year-old. It really is unbelievable.
What?
Will finds things not as funny as you do.
He'll find that funny in a few years.
Listening to you guys over the last year, this is the first time I have heard you guys admit that Charlie Weiss admitted openly that the change to Brady may never have been made if Bledsoe had not gotten hurt. Look at what has happened in Dallas about changing quarterbacks. I suppose what galls me is that pundits, not you guys, after the fact say that with certainty that Brady would have started ahead of Bledsoe. Deep down, I think Brady knows this. My question is, with Bledsoe at the helm, do you think with the players that the Patriots had at the time that they would have won any Super Bowls? And we talked about that. I say no. Definitely not three, anyway,
right.
But definitely not in 2001. Right. Out of the question in 2001, Brady was a huge part of that. And the whole thing about how openly that was, I wouldn't necessarily say that they had these press conferences where they've announced that the thing never would have been taken place, but I've had conversations. Like I said, I had a long conversation working on a piece on Tom before the 2004 season. Charlie said to me, we may never have made that move.
And I believe we've talked about it on the show before.
Yes, we have.
It's not like we're just coming out with this information now. We've discussed it before.
Let's see here. Steve wants to talk about the Gillette Stadium turf, which we had mentioned. Fred, I don't know, did you notice, Fred, how much of the turf? Yeah. So we had talked about that. What is happening to the terrible field at Gillette Stadium? I came over from the UK. Once again, we're very big over there. For the Miami game the other week, and the grass running the whole length of the field between the hash marks looked like it had been used in a cattle stampede scene from a movie. My local amateur soccer club field looks in better shape. I know there has been talk of laying down field turf, which I presume is an artificial surface, but surely that would throw up the problem of different field markings needed for Patriots, NFL, and Revolution soccer matches. What do you guys think is the reason for the state of the field now, and what do you think the crafts will decide to do for next season? His prediction for the Monday night game is Pats 31, Vikings 10.
Wow.
So he's a Craig-like prediction there, because Craig usually likes, you know.
It's a Fred Kirsch-like.
That's a close game for Fred. I mean, Craig usually has some.
It's a big one. But they're resodding the field as we speak. By the looks of it, the entire field, not just the strip down the center. And I still believe that the crafts prefer grass. I think clear that that's what they'd prefer.
I think
now,
they would
if they
rather
get forced
grass,
into yeah. going to a field turf because of, you know, they simply can't grow it here for some reason or conditions, whatever, I think they've obviously considered it, but I think if at all possible, they like grass.
Now, with the field turf, I don't think there's any difference going back and forth the field. I mean, in terms of the markings on the field, I mean, you can use the same stuff that you use for grass on field turf to mark the field. I don't think...
have paint that goes away.
And you see the soccer lines on the field now, and that's grass.
Right, but they cut it. So, they have a paint that they use on field turf that goes away. That,
right.
Disappears afterwards.
And just so you know, Andy, you'll be happy. Steve, the emailer from London, was one of the responders to Bob's question and
one
of many for the Scotland viewing.
I'm sorry I ever doubted the reach of Patriots Nation. We're big in Europe.
Okay, let's see. We'll finish up with Patrick from Ireland, who his email has come in. He says he loves the show. This is my first year listening. And this is my first email in, so please be gentle. We had someone last week that said that, didn't we? First question, is there any chance in the foreseeable future of the NFL playing any games in Ireland?
Apparently, yes. Based on the fact that we're going everywhere else.
Fred, that might be a question for you. Do you know anything about Ireland? No. Fred shakes his head.
I wouldn't rule it out.
I wouldn't rule it out.
We're going to communist China, where it might go to Mexico City. I mean, yeah. Probably Wembley would be a bigger, but could go to Ireland. Who knows? Northern Ireland.
Didn't they play a big college game over in Ireland with Notre Dame recently? Yes, Notre Dame and BC played in Ireland like within the last 10 years, right? So it must be a.
Paul's having a discussion with a guy sitting in a leather chair 15 feet from a mic.
Well, that's why I repeated what he said. Second question, who will have the bigger game this week, Chad Johnson or Steve Smith? It would really help my fantasy team.
Steve Smith.
Who's Carolina playing? Dallas. Right? He also left the game in the second quarter. He says, P.S., Andy, you are the man. Whenever you're on, it's the A-team.
Thanks, Pat.
Patrick from Ireland.
Of course, I got the drunk guy in my corner.
I'm sure he'll think you're the man next week when you're not so gentle when he emails in again next time. So that's the halfway point. A lot of stuff there in that first hour. Richard Seymour and whatnot and the field. Field conditions continue to be an issue here in Foxborough. But when we get back from our break, time to go around the NFL. Tom and Fred are here. We'll do our picks and be back as soon as you get this message.
Breaks the tackle, drives it upfield to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson!
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the 3-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to your first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen...
It smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard... A little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Clint Dempsey of your New England Revolution. We're headed back to the playoffs for the fifth straight season. Another MLS Cup appearance and our first ever championship is the only goal.
Dempsey, what a goal!
Saturday, October 28th at 7:30 p.m. We kick off our quest for the Cup against Chicago Fire at Gillette Stadium, and we want you there.
New England is revved up for another postseason appearance and a trip back to MLS Cup. Playoff action and soccer passion explodes Saturday, October 28th at Gillette Stadium. Join 2006 Honda Player of the Year Clint Dempsey and the rest of the Revs on the quest for the Cup. With tickets starting at just $18, free parking, and free admittance to the interactive soccer theme park soccer celebration, New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun night for the whole family. Don't miss it! Be a part of the playoff passion by calling 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 and get your kicks, get your playoff ticks, and get the Revolution!
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip. And suddenly, my hips start shaking, my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi. It's the cola.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack Sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots Brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack Sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
I would like to see Paul and Tom do a Irish line dance, whatever they call that. I think it would be funny. What is that dance all about? It's like they got their arms tied to their waist and then they do this jig.
How about we do the thing from European Vacation?
What's that?
The dance where Chevy Chase does the German dance.
Oh, yeah?
You never saw that movie?
No.
Really?
I've seen it, but I don't remember that part.
All I remember
it's the only funny part of the movie.
All I remember is him driving around the rotary a million times or something.
Yeah, the movie's not that good at all, but the dance is the funniest part.
All right, well, we're back here in PFW in Progress, and it's Thursday, and it's 1 o'clock, and that means we're going around the NFL with our picks. Fred, Andy, Tom, and Paul, we're all here. Gary's in the booth. And let's see how we're doing, Paul. What's going on?
Looks like he's screwed something up. He's shaking
Paul
his head, looking back on last week's results.
Paul is studying his book, and it's the first time I've ever seen him having trouble.
Help me out.
Hi, it's Fred is still in first.
I'm having a brain cramp. Fred, you were 60-27 after last week. You went 4-10, so 64-37,
yeah,
correct?
Right.
Now, Tom was 59-28, so that's one game behind. You went 5-8.
So he should be tied with me.
Yeah, well, why is 28-28, why is that not the same?
Did you not have the same total before last week?
Oh, okay, 4-10, that's why, because you're not 4-10.
Oh.
You must have been 4-9.
Ah.
4-9, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, there were 13
talk
games.
Talk more amongst yourselves.
So 13 games last week.
So make sure you check
so
mine, too.
As you get the
no,
hint
I
there.
I checked everybody's, we all have the same.
As you get as you're, the hint there is that none of us really did very well last week for some reason.
Well, it was funny because we were sitting there and we were looking at the games, and I said to Andy, I said, I bet you if you took all the home underdogs this week, you'd probably end up, because this is the type, we're getting into the middle of the year now, and you start seeing like all these home underdogs getting like a touchdown. I think other than Buffalo and one other team at 4 o'clock, all the home underdogs. Not only covered the line, but most of them won the game out.
Well, I think there's going to be some tough picks this week.
This is about the time of year where some of the teams
just
we thought that
know.
Were good
yeah.
aren't good, and some of the teams that we yeah. started off slow and we thought stunk
yeah.
start picking it
you
up.
You don't know
a
which
bit.
Team's going to come out this week, you know, when you get to this time of the year. So, Paul, why don't you fill us in?
Just terrible. Just terrible last week. The best record, I was 6-7. That was the best record. Tom was 5-8.
Solid.
Andy and Fred were both 4-9.
Disgraceful.
Now that's picking out right.
Now by the spread, all four of us were 6-7.
Huh.
So we're still making money.
So the season standings are Tom and Fred at first place, 64-36. I am next at 63-37, and then Andy at 62-38. So it's just bad all around. By the spread, Tom remains Tout Casale, 22-16-2. Fred, 20-18-2. Paul, 19-19-2, paying a lot of VIG. And Andy, they love you, my friend, 17-21-2.
So it's a two-horse race between Tom and I for the season. All right, let's...
I'm one game behind.
That's unbelievable.
All right.
Coming off a 6-7 week,
those
one
of
game
you,
behind.
Those of you putting any money on those picks might want to stay away from the guy who speaks first over here. Are you going to be taking out a second mortgage on your home?
No, I'm due for a good week.
That is true.
Before we get into this, anything, I have been busy all morning. Outside of Patriots,
I will say
anything going on I should know
I'll
about.
I'll say one thing: as I was leaving the locker room, I heard a very interesting comment from a Patriot player
about me.
No,
oh.
He has a buddy who's an intern over at the Dallas Cowboys,
yeah.
And he says there's a lot more internal problems than is led to believe.
Wow.
He said the quarterback that used to play there and the head coach who shouldn't be coaching there are no longer as tight as a lot of people think they are.
That's a pretty good observation.
Who are we talking about?
Well, I heard, who told me that Bledsoe actually cleaned out his locker after the game and then came back?
He said the person I heard talking, and he was talking to, not me, by the way, but somebody more prominent than me, and I just kind of hung around, although I didn't butt into the conversation like Bert Breer did.
I just eavesdropped.
And he said that, There's a lot of things going on there right now that aren't good.
No, we knew that, right? Without even knowing that, we knew
right.
that.
But now it's at least, you know, they're trying to make it sound like, oh, you know, he
right.
but it's not quite as good there as they want people to believe.
But as far as the Patriots, anything I should know? Bill Belichick's press conference today.
Seymour was in the locker room and he talked about the injury and stuff, which generally we all agree is kind of a good sign, because usually when
right.
you're completely out, you're not really in the locker room. And
you think he'll play?
I think he's got a shot.
He's going to take a try.
What's the injury?
Left elbow.
Yeah.
He called it gruesome. I think he hyperextended it.
He had it planted on the ground and
got hit.
So it might have been dislocated?
I didn't say that.
And popped back in.
If it was dislocated, there's no way he'd be
right.
playing.
Well, I don't know.
It looks like he hyperextended it, and it was scary looking on film, and he's surprised it wasn't as bad as it could have been.
Now, let me ask you guys, if, say he's not 100%, going up against two maulers, especially Hutchinson,
right.
who just mauls you to death, would you sit him out based on that fact that, you know, these are probably the two best guys he's going
well,
to go
up against
all
year? Well, the question is he better at 80% to do what they need him to do than Jarvis Green at 100%?
I'm saying
know.
More about him getting injured
risk
further.
It.
Yeah.
I understand the point.
Well, if
that
he wears that brace, right?
It doesn't mean anything to me, though. I think if he can play, I play him. Regardless of opponent. But I think that he probably won't play. But as I said to Andy in the first hour, if you asked me yesterday at this time, I would have said there's no chance that he's going to play. So now, based on his presence today and the way he talked about it, I think he's going to give it a shot.
I'm with Paul, though. I'm on the side where it says that he comes back against the Colts.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I'm going with he plays.
I'm going with he doesn't play.
Stand alone.
All right. Okay, let's get into the picks. We'll start with the 1 o'clock games, and that's it. Nothing else you need to tell me. Belichick didn't say anything that I need to know about.
Bill mentioned
he's day to day.
Andy and I by name today, but did not do that to Tom.
Why? When you ask the question? He doesn't know my name. He doesn't know
my name. Yes, he does.
Oh, he knows it.
He knows everything.
Yeah, but you guys have actually talked to him. Well, I mean, I'm a nobody.
It's been at least 3 years,
not,
my friend.
I'm not sure he knows everything, because he claims he knows nothing. He doesn't know who's taking
the guard. I like the way Tom asks his questions in the press conferences. It's Bill, like one of those guys... You know, in the presidential debates, that's asking the questions of the debaters. That's the way Tom asks his questions.
Like the old lady that leads off every press conference.
Well, not quite like that, but you know.
What's her name? You probably know her name.
I do.
What did you think of the debate last night, Freddie?
I thought that I didn't think there was a clear winner. No, I thought that Healy realized that, you know, obviously she's behind the poll and her negative campaigning isn't doing well. So she came out with a lot of facts and figures. I think she did a really good job, but it's too late.
Yeah,
it's
Do what do you think of polls in general?
I don't like them, but I know that
the Polish people now.
Why do they have them?
Because
don't you think that taints the vote?
There's a lot of money in polling.
Like, I mean, if I'm in, let's just say that I'm a heavy supporter for Healy. I might feel like it's why should I bother?
No, you're right. And
why, I mean, she's got no chance.
It's one of those necessary evils. If they work for you, if you're in the lead, you love them. If you don't, you hate them.
No, I understand that, but I just think that it hurts the voter count.
No,
I think
and for that reason, that's what I'm saying.
I like the Bears.
You know, Healy.
That's because they don't want people to vote. They say that they want people to vote, but they really don't want people to vote because they think the more people that vote, there's more uninformed voters.
And you're right. Half the people in America vote, and you don't want the other half voting.
Half.
Me.
You need to catch up on your reading there, Fred. Half of the people in America do not vote.
Good.
Manny Ortiz.
If you don't want to vote, don't vote.
I vote, but 30% of the people voted in the last election, which means 15% of the United States elected George Bush president. 15%. Right. So he's the president for 15% of the country.
You pull your lever, you did your duty.
Right.
That's right.
Well, I don't vote anymore because I'm here, and now I got to, like, do all this crazy stuff. So I've given up, but I used to.
You know, I register. Go in, I pull that lever down, and I say, there, I've done my duty.
You vote, Andy?
Yeah. Presidential.
Oh.
That's particularly important.
See, I wouldn't
vote
on...
When you have absolutely no say in who the president is, because no matter what...
He's voting the major ones. I'll probably vote on this one.
I wouldn't vote
going
for
the Democrat.
I wouldn't vote for the president, because I don't know any... I just moved here, and I have no idea. Also, the lady, though, her ads are extremely negative.
Carrie Healy.
That really turns me off.
They've clearly backfired on her, because she's getting buried in the...
Yeah,
but I don't like
this race is over. Deval Patrick's our next governor.
I don't like him either.
Scary.
Well, it's a shame with such a great state, that's who we have to choose from.
You're not going to fall for the banana and the tailpipe?
Okay.
Deval Patrick, no question.
All right, let's get into this. I know our listeners are probably infuriated with all this
gone.
Talk.
That's all right. We gave them an hour of good, solid football talk.
Yeah,
James
is waiting for my college football lock of the year. Let's go.
Give it.
How's the iPod? Working out?
Great, I love it.
Was it still in the box?
Have you got it?
Tell the truth, is it still in the box?
No, I got like $50 worth of songs downloaded.
I'm using it on the plane. Yep.
Have you got into podcasts yet or anything?
Not yet, I'm taking it slow.
Any videos on it yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
How about accessories?
You going to get a little pink leather case or anything?
I need something because I got it in my pocket at the gym and it keeps falling out.
Not good.
So, James, you know, where's my armband? I mean, for Christ's sakes, I've given you all these winners.
Get him a skin.
We're 3-1 on Saturday.
You know, get him a skin for his thing. All right, let's get into the first game. 1 o'clock, Houston playing Tennessee. Now, I imagine the team below is the one at home.
You tell me the teams, and I'll tell you who's favored.
Houston's playing Tennessee.
He's favored by 3.
Tennessee is Houston is favored by 3.
Who's favored? What?
Oh no! You're right. Houston's getting 3. Houston's getting 3.
Again, you tell me the teams, and I'll tell you who's favored.
Tennessee is favored by 3 points. So, Andy.
And it's in Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Okay. I'll take Houston and the points to win outright.
You're going to take Houston and the points?
Yep.
Okay.
Andre Johnson. Big game.
All right.
All right, well, Andy's picking games with his fantasy team. I'm going to pick him with my head.
So Houston is
getting 3 points.
Okay, so
Tennessee's the favorite.
Houston plus 3.
I think Tennessee is kind of turning that corner a little bit. They played the Colts tough. They won in Washington. I don't think Houston can play on the road at all. I mean, they got demolished by the Cowboys, who are a team falling apart. So I like Vince Young, Travis Henry on the ground, fantasy
he's
points.
On my team.
There you go. So Tennessee with the win and a 10-point cover.
Okay.
I'm going to agree with Tom. I think Tennessee is starting to develop a little something, and I'm going to take them. And I don't think that Houston, despite the fact that they won last week, I don't think they're that good of a team. So I'm going to go two bad teams playing at home. I'll take the home team.
Coops is getting it together in Houston.
Yeah, I'm going to take Tennessee both ways as well. You know, Jeff Fisher is being talked about now for the Redskins, and
Cowboys.
Everyone's denying it. But, I think he's starting to get some things going there, and, you know, this is two bad teams, so pick the home team. All right, Jacksonville's going to Philadelphia.
Philadelphia's favorite.
Philadelphia's favored by 7 points, even seven.
Philly.
So Jacksonville's getting 7 points.
Oh. I'll take...
Philadelphia's favored by seven. There's something going on here. Leftwich isn't playing then?
Yeah, he must not be.
Because Philadelphia would never be favored by 7 points over Jacksonville unless Leftwich wasn't playing.
I'm going to assume Leftwich isn't playing, so I'm going to take Philly both ways.
Okay.
I think Tom's right. Jacksonville, they stink on the road, especially with a backup quarterback. And I'm not in love with Garrard the way everybody else on earth seems to be.
Tom.
Well, Jacksonville's the biggest fraud in the NFL. We all know that. You can go back to the PFW from the preseason when we said that. Didn't we say that they were the overrated team of the year?
Yeah, I think their defense is
Del Rio.
Well, that's you're only going to be able to use that soundbite for another 7 or 8 weeks because he's going to be gone. I'm going to take Philly here, but I'm not laying 7 points with their defense. I don't care how bad Jacksonville plays on the road, so I'll take Jacksonville getting the number.
Okay.
I'm going to take Philly both sides because I think the Eagles have had some tough luck losses the last couple of weeks, and I think they're ready to lay it on someone at home. Coming, you know, and I think Jacksonville, I agree with Tom. I think especially on the road, Tom and Andy, that they just don't seem to play the same way there. I think they're a formidable opponent in Jacksonville, but not on the road. So I'm going to take Philly big.
Okay. I'm going to take Philly to win, but I'm going to have Jacksonville covering with their number, so within 7 points. So Philly and then Jacksonville with the number.
Yeah, Tom, you and Tom.
Okay.
Jacksonville to cover.
Let's go Atlanta. Traveling to Cincinnati, Atlanta is getting 4.5 points. So Cincinnati's favored by 4.5 points.
I'm going to take the Bengals.
You're going to take the Bengals?
Yeah.
Okay.
Both ways. I think that they get a breakout week here. Not sold on that Atlanta defense, although I'm not sold on Cincinnati's defense. So I think there'll probably be some points scored both ways. But I think the Bengals win a shootout.
All right. Chad Johnson, he's now what?
Cinco Del Rio?
De Mayo? No, he has a new name for himself. Have you heard that?
I saw him on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I haven't read it yet.
Ocho Cinco.
Ocho Cinco. He says, you got to call me Ocho Cinco now.
Cinco de Mayo.
He was close.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
Ocho Cinco.
I agree with Andy.
85, you get that, Fred?
I got it.
Okay.
I agree with Andy about the high-scoring game.
It's actually 8-5.
I don't like...
It is 8-5. It's not 85.
I understand, but...
For our Spanish-listening viewers, listeners.
Are you done?
Maybe.
In English, please.
I would prefer if Chad Johnson would shut up and actually play football.
Well, because I think Marvin Lewis said the same thing, kind of.
So, it's him versus D-Hall this week. D-Hall B-slapped him on NFL Network when they were talking trash earlier this year, so... That was impressive, and I think he's going to get the best of them on the field. I'm going to go with the Bengals to win here, but I'm going to take the number with the Falcons. I hate both these teams, so this is like my worst nightmare. I just think both teams stink.
Again, but this is, you know, typical of what you were talking about, Tom. You don't know which Bengals or Falcons team's going to come out this week.
This is a tough call.
It is a tough call. Paul?
I like Cincinnati both sides.
Okay. I'm going to go the same way, Cincinnati both sides, just because... You know, in a high-scoring game, tight at the end, one touchdown at the end, now you got a 7-point spread, so
or a field goal.
I think the Bengals
or a field goal.
I think the Bengals caused Michael Vick to turn it over a couple of times, and that gives them the difference.
Okay, still at 1 o'clock, Tampa Bay traveling to the Giants, and the Giants are favored by 9 points here, coming off a big win in Dallas.
Ooh, I'm going to take the Giants to win. And that's a good size number. I'm going to take my Brady the second, Bruce Gradkowski, to keep it tight, make some plays late when he stumbles into them, literally, as he did last week, to keep it tight. I mean, Giants are clearly the better team. Fred, I think you have them in the Super Bowl. Is that right?
I do.
Yeah, you might be onto something there. Maybe they're building in the right direction.
I'm not saying.
But Tampa Bay keeps it close enough.
All right.
The Giants definitely to win.
I'm going to take Tampa Bay with the defense. Their defense is playing well to kind of keep it low scoring. Not really feeling good about this, though, because I think the Giants could absolutely slaughter them at home. I'm going on the kind of down from their big Monday night win early on where Tampa Bay stays in the game theory, but I'm going to go with the number.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. Giants, but I'll take Tampa to cover just because of what Tom just said. The Monday night game, they were on the road on Monday night, short week, very emotional win. Hard to stay up like that. Tampa Bay's played some solid football the last month or so, and I don't think they'll win the game, but I think they'll keep it close enough.
And Andy, you forgot to mention that you meant you're giving Fred props. I predicted Tampa Bay to be in the Super Bowl. So this is me versus Fred for our Super Bowl predictions.
Has a chance to be right.
I'm going to actually go the same way. Giants to win, Tampa to cover. All right, still 1 o'clock. San Francisco travels to Chicago to take on the Bears. Bears are favored by 16.5 points. That's like 35 points in college, right? Something like that?
When you first started saying, I thought you were going to say 6. I'm like, 6? The Eagles are 7 over Jacksonville, and they're only favored by 6?
16.5 is the number.
I'm going to take the Bears to win outright, obviously. That's a lot of points. I'm going to take the Bears to cover, too. I'm going to say they blow the Niners out of the water, beat up on them, and reestablish themselves as a dominant defense.
All right.
No, I'm going to take the Bears. I can never lay 16.5 points with any. I mean, especially remember the last time they played there with the wind, with the kicks. You're playing in Soldier Field. If the weather becomes a factor, it's hard to get that number. I mean, it could be 75 and beautiful, but I'm just saying I'll take the Niners getting the points.
Okay, Paul.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Tom. I'm going to take the points, and the concern. I the Bears were off last week. I believe after that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So now they had 2 weeks to kind of stew about that really subpar performance and lucky win against the Cardinals. So I think they play well, but that's a lot of points. 16.5 points.
Yeah.
Those big spreads, generally the teams have been covering this year. I know Tennessee covered with ease. They only lost by a point against the Colts when they were getting 18.5. So I'll take the Niners. Take a flyer.
Yeah, me too. Chicago to win, Niners to cover. Okay.
Pick up another game on all of you.
1 o'clock. 1 o'clock game.
Another.
Arizona, which talk about a house in disarray. That's another one. They're going to Green Bay to play the Packers, and Arizona is plus 3. So Green Bay's favored by 3 points at home.
I'll take Arizona to win outright. Even though it goes against our little theory we always use here, two bad teams take the home team. I think Matt Leinart will have a big game. I think that offense, those weapons, this will be a week where you say, wow, they do have those weapons, and they finally put them to use against that Packers defense. Probably a lot of points scored in this game, but the Cardinals score more.
Yeah, I like the Cardinals as well. Word is if Denny Green loses this game, he could be out before the bye week. He's like a cat, man. He's got 9 lives. He's not going anywhere. Somehow they'll rally. I think last week's loss was more indicative of what happened the week before. And I think Andy's right. They're more grounded this week, and they get that passing game going, and too much for Green Bay.
Okay.
I don't know why I look at this and say that, it's two bad teams, but I think of Arizona as being much better. I don't know why I look at that, but I do, and I'll take them and probably lose with them again.
I'm going to take Green Bay to win this game, but I'm going to take Arizona to cover.
With a 3-point spread?
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
you know, they could miss an extra point.
There's a lot of games in this.
I know, but usually you do that when it's like 3.5.
That's when you play both sides.
You're doing it with 3.
It's all right. Okay.
Fred's record will end with and 1.
Well, just so you know, all of us would end with and 1.
Why?
Because it's a push.
We all have ties.
Yeah, push. If it's a push, it's a push for everybody.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
All right.
Look at this. I'm not a gambler.
1 o'clock game, Seattle.
Held by your record.
Seattle.
You're losing the regular picks. Just shows you don't know football.
I do.
He's in first place.
I do.
He gets so mad.
I mean, if we got to make a joke,
I'm not saying you made a joke.
I mean, you can make a joke.
Yeah, yeah. Seattle travels to Kansas City, and Seattle's getting 6 points.
This is a bad game.
Seattle's getting 6 points?
Yeah. Seattle plus 6.
Wallace is at quarterback.
Wallace is at running back. Morris at running back. Who knows who is at wide receiver?
And Damon Heward still leading the Chiefs. I'm going to take the Chiefs at home. Tough place to play. Damon Heward gets enough done to get some points on the board. But I think this is going to be a crappy, crappy game.
Okay.
Who's covering?
What was the spread?
Six. Kansas City.
I'll take the points.
Tom?
Yeah, I guess I'll go with the Chiefs at home. I'm not happy about it, though. I'll take Seattle to cover. I guess got this vision of Seneca Wallace running around making stupid plays and, you know, throwing the ball on the run. But the Chiefs shouldn't be six-point favorites over anybody. I don't care who's playing quarterback.
Yeah. I'll take the same theory and do the same thing. Kansas City to win, Seattle to cover.
Tom's right. The Chiefs shouldn't be six-point favorites over anybody. But when these guys make a blind like that, something, they know something.
Yeah, they know the quarterback
and the running
back.
Okay, so I'm going to go with the Chiefs both ways. And plus, you know, Patriots fans, you have to hope that Seattle loses as many games as possible.
You know, there's also such a thing as a favorite sucker bet, too. You know, like they could be reeling people in to take the Chiefs, knowing that the other two guys are out.
Okay.
So it goes both ways.
All right. All right, Baltimore.
And you fell for it.
Baltimore goes to New Orleans, still a 1 o'clock game, and this is only a two-point spread. Baltimore is getting 2 points.
Who's playing quarterback for the Ravens?
I don't even know.
Doesn't say here. Maybe Drew Bledsoe.
It's not Drew Bledsoe. Okay. I can guarantee that.
He's home in Montana. He retired. I'll take.
You didn't hear his press conference yesterday? He's going to do everything he can to help Tony.
I'm going to do everything I can to help Tony.
Watch out, Tony. I'll take the Saints.
Watch your back, my friend.
Have someone else start your car.
I'll take the Saints both ways.
I've said it before, and we'll continue to say it.
Jumping on board. It's been written. Paul says it's been written that the Seattle loses a lot of games. It's already been written. I saw that blocked punt in the opener in New Orleans. New Orleans Saints will be in the Super Bowl, so they win this week.
I'm picking the Saints to go 8-0 at home because they ain't going to let them lose at home.
I'm with you. If it's in New Orleans, I'm taking the Saints, so I'll take them each way.
Yep, ditto.
Yep, me too. Okay, let's see. 4:05 game. St. Louis travels to San Diego to play the Chargers. San Diego is favored by 9 points.
Wow.
Big number.
I really think that the Chargers are a team I probably overrate in my mind.
I don't know.
And the Rams are a team I think I underrate in my mind.
Yeah, again, I don't know who these Chargers are.
But apparently the odds makers sort of agree with me.
Who they Chargers?
9-point number.
Who do you know about, Fred? Who are the teams that you know about? Because it seems like every game that we go, I don't know who these Chargers are.
Well, it's
who do you know about?
It's the Patriots.
I know. What do you know about them?
I know they're a pretty good team.
So what have they done?
Giants are a pretty good team.
But what have those teams done that other teams haven't done?
Played consistently.
Okay.
And just a little side here. I think we have time. The Sean Merriman thing. What do you think about delaying the suspension?
Idiotic.
Well, does that lend any credibility to it? Or, you know, that he really has a leg to stand on? Because I would think Schottenheimer would say, no, take it now so that we have you back for the end of the season.
There's also a thing where you want to clear your name.
But I looked at it totally different than you guys. Sean Phillips is out 2 to 4 weeks, and he's another linebacker. So if you wait 2 weeks, you get Merriman for these 2 weeks. He goes out, and then Phillips returns. That's how I saw it.
But when is the hearing? It's November
not
something?
Not for a while. Yeah.
Like November 14th. So if he's going to miss
second
half of November
games.
And the beginning part of December, which I don't know. I just think I'd want him to take it now and then down the stretch.
I feel the same way you do, and he's not going to win the appeal.
No, yeah, I assume not but I was just wondering if Schottenheimer allowing him to do this, he doesn't have to allow him necessarily,
right.
But you'd think there would be a discussion at least. But anyway, I'll take the Chargers at home. And you know what? I'll take them both ways. Don't feel overly confident about it, but this is one of those picks where I'll go with my fantasy team and look for Phil Rivers to just pile on the passing yards and touchdowns. Of course, I'll get screwed. They'll throw a 1 yard Damian Tomlinson touchdown pass on the goal line. But
the fantasy points.
I think the Chargers. I still believe they have a chance to be a very, very good team, and this would be a big win to move in that direction.
Yeah, I'm off the Chargers. I'm going to take them to win, but I think Schottenheimer's going to start playing these close games again, and the Rams are better than I thought. I thought Seattle would put the whooping on them pretty good a couple weeks ago, and the Rams had a 21-7 lead there. I think they'll be competitive enough to stay within the number, but the Chargers win at home.
All right, Paul.
I'm going to take the Chargers to win as well, but I will take the Rams. 9 points is a lot of points. I'm going to take take those points, and I think the Rams' defense is a little bit better than than I thought. You know, they didn't have a lot of real big names on that unit, but they played pretty well. So I kind of agree with Tom. I think the Chargers will probably have the number covered at some point during the game. But Marty will do something to make sure that they don't win by more than 9.
I was pretty close to picking St. Louis for this game outright, but
I heard you guys pick, and I said, "Oh, I must be wrong."
No, I'm going to go with San Diego to win, but the Rams to cover.
I pick up another one.
All right,
flapping the field.
You like the favorites? That's your problem. You lay the wood too much.
let's see. Okay, 4:15 game. Pittsburgh travels to Oakland. Pittsburgh's favored by 9 points, even though it's in Raider country.
Charlie Batch. Obviously, I'll take the Steelers to win, but you know what? I'm going to take... Tom convinced me. I like the favorites. I'm going to take them to cover as well. They beat up on the Raiders. The Raiders got lucky last week. They stink. They can't do it multiple weeks in a row, not even keep it close. Defensive scores for the Steelers. They win big.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Steelers both ways because of what Andy said, the defensive scores. But one thing I've noticed the last couple of weeks, the Raiders' defense is starting to play a little bit better, at least giving them a chance. I mean, their offense is, I mean, it's, you could, if you have a good pass rush, you can just totally demolish that line. But at least their defense is somewhat competitive. So I don't think the Steelers will win, beat the number easily, but I think they'll probably win by 10 to 17 points.
Okay. I saw on NFL.com, Vic Carucci did some sort of story talking about coordinators that are doing a good job, and Rob Ryan was included. So is Josh McDaniels. But.
Please.
is Roethlisberger out, definitely?
No,
I saw that he was going to play. But I'll tell you, regardless, I'm going to take Pittsburgh to cover as well because I think Batch has played pretty well in a couple of different stints this year, and
I don't see
any reason why that shouldn't continue.
Okay. This is my upset of the week special. Oakland wins.
Wow.
So I'm picking them outright. So take that to the bank.
All right.
I will.
I'm going to kill Fred this week.
We'll see.
We will.
Upset special.
Touche.
All right.
Unlike most of Fred's upset specials, that truly is an upset special.
But we should mention that last week's Fred's upset special was the Redskins.
They were close in the first quarter.
For those of you that really pay attention, you can really find out where the upset specials come from, and those are basically any team that's playing one of the Patriots' rivals in the AFC.
Right.
If you really pay attention, you can have an idea of where Fred's upset special is going to come from.
All right, 4:15.
Who's playing Denver this week?
The Colts. So it's always
no upset special
there.
He's
going to go a push.
Well, actually,
upset
special
there.
If you're a Patriots fan, you're rooting for the Colts in that game.
When we get to it, I'll tell you what I think of that.
All right, the Jets are traveling to Cleveland to take the Browns, and Cleveland's favored by 2 points in this game.
Are they playing us? The Jets
are at Cleveland?
Yeah.
I'll take the Jets, and obviously I'll take the points. As much as I like Romeo, things just aren't going so well in there. Maurice Carthon resigning. Our other guy now, we got another coordinator out there.
Jeff Davidson,
and now the OC in Cleveland. But you know what? This is a good game for the Jets to win. They're buying into the Mangini way after all that crap we read all summer. They're buying in. They're playing decent football and good enough to beat on a bad team.
I'm excited to be a head coach.
Well, I'm going to take the Jets because I want to root for them because I just want the AFC East to be somewhat competitive so our jobs are more interesting. But I bet you the Browns will win this game. They're going to pound the Jets with Reuben drones right up the gut, and they'll win a low-scoring game. But, Paul, mark me down for the Jets just so I can root for them.
Hey, this game opened up at, I guess a couple games opened up, but at 1 point, how can that be? I mean,
what do you mean, how can it be?
Unless it's a tie, isn't it always at least a one-point margin?
No, some are pick. The Colts are pick right now.
Pick them.
It means if you win by one, you win. If it's a one-point spread and you win by one, you push.
Oh, okay. That seems like
games that are like 21-20.
I know.
It's always 1 point.
I know. But
I'm going to take Cleveland to win the game here outright.
All of a sudden, I don't bet. He's, of course, that's the way it is.
Well, I mean, it's kind of an odd question. How can they have
a one-point difference?
The spread could be anything. The spread could be 99.
But why bother having a one-point spread?
they do what they there's a formula attached. They try to do what they think is going to happen.
Because then when there's a 1-point win, it's a push.
Right. Okay.
He's getting mad.
If it was two and
I thought they didn't like
one, they would lose.
I thought Vegas doesn't like. They want to have a winner, right?
They'd like pushes better than losses. Let's put it that way.
Right. But I think that a lot of what Tom said is accurate with Cleveland's running attack. And look, I think Mangini's doing a good job. I'm not overly sold on the Jets. I said this last week, and they want to shoot out against the Lions, 31-24, a game that could have gone either way. I just don't think the Jets are good enough to pencil in before a game against anybody. The Jets will win. So I'm going to take Cleveland at home. I think everybody thinks the Jets will win this game. I think Cleveland wins.
Okay.
I don't think
Cleveland's any worse than the Jets. Let's put it that way.
Games left and right.
Despite the difference of records, I don't think Cleveland's any worse than the Jets.
Okay. I have to go with the Jets in this game.
I'm going to pick the Jets.
Yeah. Outright. So Jets are going to be 5-3. If they win this,
this division's not over, baby.
Penciling in a win.
Jets could be 5-3, and the Pats could be 6-2 or 5-2. Right?
That's the only reason why I'm taking the Jets. I kind of want that game to mean something in a couple weeks, and I don't want to root against them.
Jets
but instead,
like
the Jets are going to be 4-4, and the Pats are going to be 6-1.
I think so.
Jets have a lot of easy wins down the road. You can pencil in victories for them.
Well,
the
that's
division
what everybody's
is
doing.
On the line.
That's what everyone's doing, but I ain't doing it.
When they come here to Foxborough, that's going to be a huge game.
All right. Next
Dad's
game.
Dad's raking leaves. Bring him in.
Division
one's
may already
be a dandy.
Division may already be clinched.
All right. 4:15 game. The Colts are going to Denver to play the Broncos. And the Broncos are favored by 3 points.
I thought you just said it was pick 'em.
It is in some other circles.
The Broncos are favored by 3.
It's a tough one.
What do you bring
I'm going to take the
Not
Colts.
For me.
I'm going to take the Colts. I think they win on the road. I think that offense is going to build, and this is could be a breakout week. That defense, I think, is going to get worn down. I know they're, what are they, like 8 points a game or 7 points a game they give up on the season in Denver, and Jake Plummer makes some mistakes.
Is this a good
big win?
Is this a good test to see if Denver's defense is for real? Or?
Yeah, and it will fail.
It will fail.
The Colts will win this game big.
Really?
And I'll tell you why. Denver's been playing a bunch of teams that can't throw the football. They're in for a big, big surprise this week. I just think when you score 7, 8, 9 points a game, you're not going to beat the Colts that way. They're going to have to rely on Jake Plummer this week to make some plays. Shanahan, in my opinion, has been way too conservative against some of these bad teams when he could have been working on some different things. He's going to need Plummer this week, and Andy's right. He's going to end up turning the ball over. Jay Cutler starts next week for the Denver Broncos after they get whooped by the Colts. You heard it here first.
Wow. That's bold. Okay, Paul.
I like Denver big.
Wow. Okay.
I think that
How
everything.
How are they going to score points
everything?
All of a sudden?
Well, they play in the Colts.
Okay.
And I think that Denver. Tom's big thing about Shanahan, I think, is accurate about how conservative he's been, but I think that it's been somewhat intentional. He's held a lot back and done whatever he had to do to win. I don't agree with that philosophy. I think it's hard to turn it on and off. I think he's made a mistake. However, I think that it won't necessarily be Jake Plummer piling up the points. It'll be Tatum Bell and the rest of the Broncos running game because I don't think, even though the Colts were a little bit better last week against Clinton Portis, I still don't think that that defense is that much better. And the Colts will not have a wild up-and-down-the-field show offensively against the Denver in Mile High Stadium. So I'm going to take the Broncos.
Who do you think I'm going to pick, Paul?
Denver.
You're right. I'm picking Denver in this game.
Because you pick every one of those games with whatever would be best for the Patriots. That's how you pick those games. You're like a book.
See, I would have thought he picked the Colts because he doesn't want the Patriots to face Denver again.
Well, he has to get two teams with a worse record than the Patriots.
Oh, okay.
That's what he's looking at right now.
Right. So you want that bye.
From 8 years of working with him, I know where he's going. And I'm not necessarily saying he's wrong. As a Patriots fan, I think that's a legitimate thing to be thinking about right now. Although I got kind of chastised for doing that by somebody in the organization.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. Oh. We're looking at byes. We haven't even, you know, the supposedly unbeatable 2004 team hadn't even hit its crossroads yet at this point in the season. You know, you put in parentheses, Halloween.
Right.
You know, and we're talking about, you know, posturing for a bye already.
Well, you got to look ahead, I think. Yeah, I'm going to go with Denver. outright, you know, to also cover as well. So
right.
Okay.
He's not going with the Colts with that field goal spread this time.
All right. Let's go Sunday night football. Dallas once again in prime time playing Carolina. And Dallas is plus +5 in this game.
Where's the game?
Carolina.
In Carolina.
I'll take the Panthers. I think they will beat the hell out of Tony Romo. I think they win this game big, big, big.
Is Jerry Jones on the sideline the whole game, or is he just going to come down at halftime?
He'll be dangling from his shoestrings in his owner's box.
Ooh.
Thomas?
Tom? Well, you know, Tony Romo may be great. I don't know. I've never really seen him play football for an extended period of time, but until he shows me that he is, I'm certainly not going to take him on the road against one of the NFC's better teams. So I'll take Carolina, who's, until last season, always dominated Dallas in Carolina. I think they'll throw all over them. Steve Smith has a big game, and they'll cover the spread.
And when it comes to picking the Cowboys, you can trust the man who is... No. Never mind. But he wears a star. You know that Texaco? You can trust your car to the man who wears the star. That's Tom.
Such an idiot.
That's Tom.
The hell's he talking about?
Tom knows what's going on with the Cowboys.
You took Carolina both?
Yeah. Well, it's because I listened to things in the Patriots locker room.
Well, I'm going to take Carolina both sides, but I got to tell you, there's no doubt in my mind that Tony Romo comes in and wins like 8 out of 9
just
of the
to screw Drew.
Because if there's anybody that has a worse life out there than me, it's Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah, but J.P. Losman didn't do
this
it.
This is back to where Paul has a bad life.
You think media that Drew whore, has a bad life?
In money.
I'm talking about in terms of what happens, you know. I mean, let's face it.
Drew should thank his stars that he's been in the league this long.
Fred, don't take me literally.
I'm only
you know, I mean, come on. Let's attack it.
Careful,
I mean,
he'll get sensitive over there.
There's
a lot
of things that could have happened that wouldn't have made Drew look quite as bad as what happened with Tom Brady.
I don't know. It was humiliating.
And a lot of things could happen here that wouldn't make Drew look quite as bad. You know, like the other night, for example. It would be nice for Drew's sake for Tony Romo to go out and wet his pants again like he did Monday night and throw 3 more picks and get sacked a couple of times and look like a high school quarterback.
You'll be rooting for that.
I absolutely will be rooting for that.
Yeah.
And I will not be with you. I'll be watching the World Series.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because I'm more interested in the World Series than that game now that Drew's not playing in it.
You got to be kidding me.
Where are we eating?
Why?
You're more interested in St. Louis versus the Tigers than any NFL game?
And Tony Romo, yes. If Drew Bledsoe was playing, I'd have an interest in
that. Tom, what will you be watching?
Tom will be watching the Cowboys. He's a huge Cowboys fan.
Think? Okay, Andy, what would you rather watch?
I don't really care about either.
But you have to choose one. What are you going to watch? The NFL game or the World Series with the Tigers?
I was at home and just picking, I would watch the football game.
I would agree with you that most people would probably want to watch a football
but
game.
But I'll be doing whatever we're doing and wherever the wings are.
You're doing it out of spite.
Only because of Bledsoe.
He does.
The only way I would be watching the football game is if Bledsoe or the Patriots was involved up against the World Series.
Detroit and St. Louis?
Suddenly, the matter with the teams
Fred,
are.
The World
understand.
Series has no chance. I mean, the Cowboys-Giants was the most watched thing in the history of cable television.
Right. And I'd be fully admitting that most people would rather watch the football game. I'm not trying to say that you guys are idiots for doing that.
And the last World Series game was the lowest in the history.
Why am I being a contrarian? Because I like baseball better than football, Fred. Why is that a contrarian?
I think you know what you're doing. You didn't go to Billy Ogden's. You know what you're doing.
You know what? Andy had the whole theory on why I didn't go to Billy Ogden's. I'm interested to hear yours.
You just don't like to go to those places, and I don't know what those places mean.
Thank you.
What do you think Billy Ogden's
But at
is?
Least you said it didn't have anything to do with pouting, because
I said he was pouting in his room.
I mean, three weeks ago, you asked about the Billy Ogden's trip, and I said I wasn't going, and suddenly you guys were surprised on Saturday when I said I'm not going.
I don't know what you mean by those places.
I just don't really want to go to a sit-down thing with a bunch of people. I'd rather just get
You
wings.
Did the week before. We went to the Rips place.
And it wasn't my favorite thing.
It was three
you know,
times as many people.
What do they call those things where you sit
they
down
make you
and
sit
eat?
Down when you eat, and there's people there.
Where do we go that you don't
mean.
Sit
I
down
know
and
what
eat?
You mean.
And Tom says, that,
know
you know
mean.
The funny part about this is Tom...
You don't like to go to a place Tom where you have to look at a menu.
Tom likes to do it quietly behind your back. But Tom likes to watch the college football games when we get there, and he gets annoyed when it's rush, rush, rush. We got to get out by such and such a time to get to a place.
I
couldn't agree more with him, except that he won't say it. I will.
But we didn't
rush
this
baby.
Time.
I like to rush, 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 get to a place where I can watch the college football
game. Right, and you did that at Billy Ogden's?
No, but that's an exception.
Right. That's why I don't like going to those kinds of places where I can't do that.
Oh, my God.
That's all I'm trying to say.
Oh, my God. Well, Billy Ogden's, you have to make a reservation, so there was nothing we could do about it.
Right. Well, what did you – I mean, was it any skin off your back? I took care of everything.
I didn't say that it was. We're talking about watching the everything. Games. Well, usually we can go out when we want to.
Except for the, you know, paying for it, but
– I don't have any
care of them. Right.
I don't have any. I mean, when we go to Green Bay,
belt up the waitress when we walked in.
When we go to Green Bay, you guys can go wherever you want because you know where I'm going to be watching Michigan, Ohio State. And I'll tell you another thing: if the game's at noon instead of 8 o'clock,
I'm not going.
I'm not coming with you on the flight. I'll take a private flight to Green Bay because I'm not missing Michigan, Ohio State, no matter what. So, what do you think of that?
Oh boy,
you're fired.
All right, so where are we?
Carolina, Dallas. Who are you taking?
I'm taking Carolina. Both ways.
But you know Dallas is going to win the game.
Hell no. They're not going to win.
I think they are.
No chance.
Oh, I really want them to lose.
I'm picking with my head by picking Carolina.
I want them to lose.
I want them to lose, too, but I know it ain't going
to
happen.
I want them to lose because of Terrell Owens and Jerry Jones.
I know that Dallas is 3-3 right now, and somehow they'll go 12-4.
I'm rooting against
according
Romo,
my Patriot
not,
source.
Not the personal thing for him.
Right.
I'm just rooting against the whole rooting for the backup quarterback that no one knows anything about. Because he played a little bit in the preseason.
Right.
Everybody thinks he's better.
You don't understand, Andy. First it was Testaverde. Then it's Bledsoe. It's the whole thing. Get a young quarterback in there, whether it's Romo, whether it's
I've heard Michael Felger tell me that Tony Romo's going to be good.
Well, you know the old saying?
That's just
how the hell do you know?
Nobody knows.
I understand what your point is, and it's right. But the difference that Andy's talking about is this guy came into the game to a wild ovation.
Right. He's an undrafted
that's utterly ridiculous.
Agent.
If
he was Matt Leinart, if he's Vince Long, if he's
that's
your quarterback of the future, no problem.
Right.
But he's some
Listen,
chump.
That's because fans are stupid.
Right.
2 years ago in Dallas, they were booing Vinny Testaverde through four quarters. He hit a wide-open Patrick Creighton for a game-winning touchdown, 14-13. The place went crazy. And I said, why are they cheering? They were just booing for four quarters. Now you happy because he completed one pass?
My point is that you shouldn't.
So are there similarities between Cowboys fans and Patriots fans?
But
as a Dallas fan,
you absolutely should be looking for that next quarterback.
Yeah.
Because you need to get a new quarterback.
Ago.
And Romo may end up being that guy. My point is, what Andy is saying, like right now, if I'm in Denver, I'm anticipating the Jay Cutler era. That's the era. That's the guy that you targeted as the next guy. The Matt Leinart. The you know Eli
Apples
Manning
never
and
that guy.
Don't tell me Tony Romo's the guy that they've handpicked and targeted as their next quarterback.
Right. Well, there's an old saying, you know, better to be thought a fool than open your mouth and prove it. Well, it's better to be thought a career backup than actually go in the game and prove you're
I'll
a career
you,
backup.
I'll tell you, I had the you know, same impression that I had back when Zolak was here. When Drew got hurt and there was a couple of guys that were like, Zo! And I used to joke around and say, Zolak was sitting there saying, Jesus, shut up! they don't know I can't play yet. Now I'm going to get out there and play and wet myself and I'll be out of the league in 2 years.
Right.
What happened? That's what happens. 9 times out of 10, that's what happens. The exception is Brady.
Well,
I'm not
going to
go out there and crap my pants because I'm on the field.
Training camp?
Yeah.
Didn't they give him like $1 million or something?
It's amazing. They love the guy, but they won't let him on the field. The year Testaverde was quarterback.
He should stay on the sideline.
But daily it seems like they couldn't wait to get him on the field this year because Parcells has been talking about it since February. I thought it was all a smokescreen, but evidently I was wrong.
All right. Okay, so I'm taking Carolina. All right, finally. We get to the Monday night game in New England's going to Minnesota in Monday night football.
Fred's going to hang out with Paris Hilton.
What's going on with that?
She's just opening the game, doing that little thing where they pick the helmet up.
So
and
she's
say,
not
I'm ready.
There, right?
No.
So I can't boo her?
No. Now, are they the one? Oh, no. Sunday night football is the one that does the stupid in-game interview.
Okay, it's in Minnesota, but the Patriots are favored by two
points. She's hot,
points.
Why did they do that?
Why did they do that?
Yeah.
Why did they favor the Patriots?
No, by two.
Well, you know, safeties.
He's no fun to play with.
He's not. Not playing along. You're playing the role of Bill Belichick as Fred. Not playing along.
I'm going to take the Patriots to win and cover. As I said on the TV show, I think this is going to be a tough game. I think there's some interesting matchups on both sides of the ball. Obviously, the Seymour thing, the Neal thing, some of the injuries, their O-line, both running games. And there's a lot going on here. I don't think it's going to be high scoring, as I said on TV, 24-16. I think it'll be in that area somewhere. I think the Vikings will have some success on offense, but they'll be forced to kick some field goals, and that'll be the difference in the game. The Patriots will get a couple touchdowns.
Let me ask you a question. is this a game that the Patriots should win?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't really understand. Are they vastly superior in talent?
That's my question. Should the Patriots win this game? Are they the superior team? Should they win this game?
I don't think they're the superior team against anybody.
Okay. Well, I do.
I mean,
you made a statement on our show Tuesday night. One of the things about Belichick's team is they win the games they're supposed to win.
This isn't one of those.
The Bills are a game you're supposed to win. The Bills, the Jets, the Dolphins, the Packers, the Lions, the Texans, those are games that you're supposed to win.
This is not a game that the Patriots, supposed to win.
And that's not, I'm not saying that they're underdogs or they have the worst, but I think this is a toss-up game.
I mean, clearly they're the favorite. But
well, not clearly, it's only two.
Yeah, I think they're about 3 points better on paper.
Yeah.
I would agree with that, but I wouldn't say.
Five,
I mean, if Minnesota wins the game, I don't think it's like an upset. I mean, technically it would be, but I don't
it's
think
a Fred Kirsch upset.
Yeah, a game that could go either way.
He just agrees with it now.
Nuts.
You're gonna make fun of me, but I think if the Vikings win, I think they upset the Patriots.
Well, my gut.
Talking about an NFC team, even though it's in at home. I mean, usually AFC teams have been, lately better.
Well, if we listen to the God of Football, the Patriots should have no chance because Bill Belichick thinks this is the best team that's been put together in the last decade.
Well, my gut tells me that Minnesota's going to win and win big, but my gut got me to bankruptcy. So I'm going to – working here, I had to start using my head because apparently the Patriots never lose, and especially when I pick against them. So even though while I think the Vikings have a very good chance of winning, I take the Patriots by a field goal, so – I'll take him with the points, too.
Yeah, I like Andy's score, 24-16. We both used the same score for the TV show on Tuesday. And I think that a lot of Andy's reasons are why I think that the Patriots find a way to keep him out of the end zone a few times and not allow too many touchdowns. And ultimately, that's the difference. You can't beat the Patriots if you can't get in the end zone because they're going to find a way. Brady will get it in the end zone enough, generally, to win. 24-16, I think it could go either way. I think maybe it's even a little closer than that. But I like the Patriots to win. I am concerned with the injuries, but I just think they find a way. I'm not totally sold on Minnesota, and this is a game that they can sell me on if they can find a way to win it.
Yeah, I think this would be this is good proving ground for the Patriots to see how consistent they are. I happen to think that, this sets up as one of those games that we've seen in the past where they're on the road against an unfamiliar team, and they just can't ever seem to get it going. They're not getting blown out, but you just get that feeling that this isn't the Patriots' day. They're just not going to do it. But
it was the Panthers game last year.
Yeah. That's how I felt about
the Panthers game last year.
Vrabel gets the interception, and you think, okay, this is it.
There it is.
This is it.
They never got going.
It never got – that's a perfect analogy. But I think this is a different team. I think it's a more consistent team. And I think this year we're going to see them beat a team that I think – they're better than, and they should win, and they should, no matter where it's played.
I also think the Vikings have a little bit more to win here.
Looking at it from this perspective,
this game means much more.
Oh, for them, I would agree with that.
People say, okay, it was on the road, tough spot for them. I think if the Vikings lose, people start to say
they're not that good.
Especially since they let that Bears game get away from them.
This is a measuring stick, a team that's perceived to be elite, like the Patriots, that most people have in their top five of their power rankings. This would be a very, very big win for Childress.
Like I said last week, though, Troy Brown breaks the record at home against the Colts. Two catches this week, and then he gets it against the Colts.
Bingo! All right, we still got 4 or 5 minutes left in the show.
About Mexico? Do you know John Rook used to sneak across the Mexican border and drink 10-cent tequila shots and bang Mexican women?
Is that right? Yep. He admitted that on air?
That on the show.
Yep. Wow. Yesterday in the crossover, you learn a lot of things in those crossovers.
Wow. I was like, I can't believe you just said that on the air, but
he admitted it on the air. And he admitted
his wife told him.
Quite that wording.
Well, yeah, he didn't say it in so many words.
Did he get tested before he got married?
His wife told him, I don't care what you did before you met me. Interesting. I always thought John Rook was a little more straight and narrow, but
he's from Texas.
He had his wild times back then.
Okay.
No one from Texas is straight and narrow.
And he also said 10-cent tequila shots, so you can get drunk for like a buck. And I was like, I would never even make it.
Andy would have seventy-five cents left over.
I'd be drunk on a quarter. Never mind a
question.
Buck.
10 tequila shots, I'd be dead.
We were gonna go drink because we wanted to get drunk.
That'll do it, especially Mexico.
You were gonna ask a question.
Maybe I just Friday Night Lights. Have you seen any
of
Friday Night Lights?
He doesn't have a lot of time, Paul. I don't know if you know.
I know he has no time to devote to new shows, but I was just wondering if he had seen it at all.
Well, is it good?
I liked it, yeah.
It's getting bad ratings, but heard people it was say it's terrible a good show.
Well, no one gets good ratings.
Yeah, I've heard it's they're moving it around or something because it's like critically acclaimed and a ratings nightmare.
Yeah, I saw that it's not going to be on at the normal time next week.
When do they usually have it?
It's usually on Tuesdays at 8. I think it's going to be next Monday at like 10, which is tough because 10 o'clock shows are tough for me.
Why would you put it on up against football if it's a show about football?
That
makes
point.
No sense.
Put it on Friday. There's nothing on Friday.
Maybe that's not right. Actually, wouldn't it make sense?
Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm not right on that.
No, you can't put it on Fridays either because it's about kids who play football on Friday night and they're out playing football.
I lost you.
Well, you know, I don't.
We don't think it's actually happening, Fred. We know it's a TV show.
It's like, you know,
I don't think they're only targeting high school football
players. ESPN wanted to put playmakers on, they're not going to put it on Sunday at 1 because, you know, it doesn't make sense.
I don't think anything you've said in the last 30 seconds makes any sense at all.
Well, you're not into TV programming.
Fred, they're not just targeting high school football players.
Maybe it's a girl show.
I don't work for NBC like Fred.
Is it a girly show? Is it like the OC, but it's football related?
No, there is definitely some female storylines.
The
wife is a strong character, the football coach's wife.
The real estate agent wants to bang the football players.
And there's two high school girls that are involved in all the plots.
You'd like these.
Getting back to Drew Bledsoe. Talk radio. Talk radio in Boston was dominated by this discussion.
So I slapped them around and said, let's stop talking about the Cowboys and let's start talking about the Patriots.
That was tough. I felt bad for you yesterday.
Why? It was fine.
They purposely let that one guy stay on the phone way too long.
The guy who kept saying the same thing that I was saying,
right.
Only he thought he was contradicting me.
Right.
Speaking about sneaking across the border to find some Mexican women, John Rook in the house.
Yeah! He sounds like Howard Dean.
Question. Poll. Does Drew Bledsoe get into the Patriots Hall of Fame?
Yes. If this organization has any class and sense about it, yes.
I would say yes with the numbers he put up when he was here.
Paul?
Yeah, I don't think there's any discussion.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
John get a vote?
Slam dunk.
No, I would agree. He does.
I mean, when your numbers have you on the borderline for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I would think that you have to be a team Hall of Fame guy.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that he belongs in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but his numbers are going to be better than guys that are in.
Plus, the franchise was down in the dumps, and, you know, he came here, they built around him, and they went to a Super
Absolutely.
Bowl.
Right, and that's what a team Hall of Fame should be about. Not just maybe the numbers, but his career
contribution to the organization.
In my opinion, is why a guy like Troy Brown is a Patriots Hall of Famer. Not because he has the most receptions, but he meant so much more than that to the team.
Right, right. Okay, just I didn't know if anyone had changed their opinion.
I don't think he'll be making the Cowboys Ring of Honor. But
yeah, probably not. No. Probably not.
No.
Very excited to be a Dallas Cowboy.
All right, John's here. Today's Thursday, right?
Yeah, today's Thursday.
Okay, anything going on?
Well, Russell will be here.
Russell Baxter.
Yeah. Baxter will be here. We will.
Baxter.
In honor of the turf, you know, finally getting taken care of here, we're going to ask a fundamental question I think that most males need to answer of themselves at some point in time in their lives.
Doesn't
work. That's when they smoke it.
No, just very simple. Do you prefer real or fake?
Okay. And fill in the blank there, right?
Real. Real both ways.
All right.
What way are you talking about, Andy?
Fake.
You know how we're talking when you get all liquored up in Mexico.
He doesn't remember if they were real or fake.
All right,
true.
Well, stay tuned for Maxim, hosted by John Rook.
Or donkeys.
Maxim, that's right.
I like your boobs.
We'll be back tomorrow at 12 for another edition of PFW and Progress.
That'll be